Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. Well, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because, that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call them the
Thor. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So, how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Another week, another two shows. That's our motto here at PFW in Progress. Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred, doctor
Terrible
in the house,
motto.
Chevy, Toyota Tacoma.
Chevy Tacoma.
And we're all here.
In history.
And eating skipjacks.
Tremendous.
Mm-hmm. From who? Who bought it?
William Roeder.
William Roeder.
My favorite listener of all time. Bill and I go way back.
Now we're all eating skipjacks. We have a big, you know, thing in front of us. Eric refuses.
No, I am.
Eric's
what do you have?
A
big
chicken
thing in front
parm
of him.
With angel
oh,
you have
chicken parm. So from skipjacks, you ordered chicken parm.
Yes, because...
And Paul ordered steak tips because they refused to eat. Now, fish is brain food. I'm surprised, Eric, that you don't like fish.
I just don't, Fred.
You're not
and
as
yes,
smart
I,
as you think
yes,
you
I've
are.
Yes, I've tried. Oh, yes, I am.
There's no doubt about that.
All right. Well, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We'll be here for the next 2 hours talking everything, the aftermath of the draft. We've just come out with the PFW post-draft issue that will be on newsstands tomorrow morning, right? Chock full of inside on all the Patriots draft picks. And a lot of other stuff that you can get. One of our biggest sellers. That and the pre-draft issue are two of our biggest sellers on the newsstands.
Profiles of all 12 draft picks. Minicamp 3-page spread with all the information out of minicamp. Everything you need to know about the Patriots right now, it's in there.
Yeah, my favorite issues of the year. Pre- and post-draft.
Your favorite?
My favorite.
Wow.
I think there's a lot of work in there, but there's a lot of good work. It's stuff that I think that the fans really appreciate. We get a lot of positive feedback on those two issues.
And a couple other moves by the Patriots since the draft.
Yes, would you like me to read them?
Yeah, what you have the list of free agents?
8 free agents they signed at the culmination of rookie minicamp. These are some of the guys that were in on tryouts. There were 10 guys. They signed 8 of them. I feel bad for the two poor schmucks who got sent home again. But not all rookie free agents. Some veterans here. I will start with the most notable veteran, Vinny Paul Searcy.
Cheer-choo.
Linebacker, 7-year veteran out of Boston College, mostly a special teamer with the Vikings, the Panthers, and started his career with the Bucks. But kind of strange to see a 7-year veteran on a tryout in rookie minicamp, but it's been all the rage these days. Oliver Ross, a former Patriot, did it with the Cardinals this weekend. A couple other veterans, Omar Cuff, a running back out of Delaware, a first-year veteran, 5'9", 195. Robert Ortiz, old friend, was on the team last year in training camp, made the tryout squad here. And Steve Williams, defensive lineman out of Northwest Missouri State, He's a second-year veteran, played with the Chiefs a couple of years ago. Not much about him on the web, so I don't know anything about him. Then the rookie free agents, three Navy guys. We know Bill has the affection for the Navy midshipmen. Tyree Barnes, a 6 foot, 196-pound receiver. Eric Catani, running back, 5'11", 235. And Shun White, another wide receiver, 5'8", 195, a little stocky guy. And then finally a punter out of UCLA, Aaron Perez.
All right.
So those are the eight guys they signed. Fred, I'll give you a quick rundown. Perez can't punt, so I don't know why they signed him. He will not be here when rosters are filled out as they sign draft picks. Had a tough minicamp.
He's no Mike Dragosevich.
Omar Cuff showed a little shiftiness, quickness. I liked what I saw from him. Got a little banged up in the Tyrone McKenzie play. They both got hurt at the same time. He limped back out on the field, took some reps. I wonder if that was enough to push him over the top, and, you know, he showed that dedication. And Tyree Barnes looks really good on, like, one out of every five plays. He's 6 foot, 196, makes these great extended catches. Then the next two or three, he slips, falls down, drops the ball, who knows what.
So. Your guy Edelman had that problem, too, slipping and falling a lot.
But he doesn't really look as good because he's 5'7 when he does it.
Well, that's something I want to get into is your observations from rookie camp. I know you blogged on PFW online blog that you can get through Patriots.com. But I want to talk about these guys at the Patriots draft. And just first impressions, obviously, means nothing. They're just in helmets and shorts. So it's really not a big thing. But we get to see a little bit of their athleticism.
The biggest issue we should get to is Tyrone McKenzie. Limped off the morning session on Saturday. The linebacker that we've talked quite a bit about, we liked him early on in the process. South
Florida. Guest on the program last week.
Guest on the show last week, and that might have been a bad omen for him, apparently. You know, it didn't. He limped off, and it didn't look all that serious to me, but now we're hearing kind of mixed readings on him.
Well, we'll have to see, and obviously we won't know until the next time these guys take the field and we're allowed to watch.
He was not there for the afternoon session. He stayed on the sideline after the injury, happened in a one-on-one coverage drill with, as I said, Omar Cuff. Not sure exactly what happened, but he went down grabbing the right knee. They did all the ACL, MCL tests a couple different times. But then he was walking around, kind of limping it off, as they say, grabbing the back of his knee quite a bit, which I thought was weird. You don't see that all that often. So I don't know what it could possibly be, but he was not out there in the afternoon. And we liked him. That would be disappointing to see if it was something that...
Yeah, very impressed with the person that we met, you know, indirectly through the radio last week. And athletically on the field, we, you know, again, tough with no pads like Andy talked about.
And he hit a few guys in
coverage. Some snap judgments.
He wanted to have pads on. He was knocking people around, and Dean was yelling at him for, you're going to get a holding, you're going to get an illegal contact.
Very physical player, which I like.
Plus, he was one of those guys that we had pegged as one of the few rookies in the draft class who actually had a legitimate chance of not only making the team, but maybe even contributing pretty early on. So
right.
It's a little disappointing that he
plus got his brother listens.
Right. Well, we'll see.
Well, maybe his brother can write in and give us an
email
update.
In if
well,
you've heard anything from Tyrone.
Yeah. How's he doing? So that's Tyrone McKenzie. As far as the upper draft picks, Patrick Chung, Darius Butler, how'd they look?
Chung looked good.
I liked
Butler
them both. Butler had an up and down first
a little
day.
Inconsistent.
A little inconsistent. His coverage was always right there, but he got burned a few times with, you know, trying to, just his height didn't help him.
Yeah, jumping much. Kind of at the wrong time and not quite coming down with the play.
And then he was put back in punt return coverage.
Yeah, that's well.
And he dropped like two straight and almost dropped the third one.
Had to make a great catch
to really
catch
good
the third.
Catch. So, but then in the afternoon he picked off a pass, made a nice break on the ball. He had showed good instincts. Like I said, his coverage, he wasn't getting burnt.
Got burnt once.
Yeah, but it was that one time. But for the most part, his coverage was there. He just gave up a few too many completions in the morning session. In the afternoon, he seemed to adjust a little bit better. But
and Saturday, he gave up a couple, but had one where he had perfect coverage and then just planted, you know, stuck his foot in the ground, as they say, and came back for the comeback before the receiver did and picked it off. It was a very nice play. Made a couple other nice catches. I said to Paul, I thought he was up and down because I came in.
He was sold as
maybe the best all-around athlete in the draft because of his abilities on special teams, played offense, defense, cover corner, all that. And he didn't quite stand out to me on that level for the first day. He didn't look like, quote-unquote, a man among boys. He looked like the best boy among boys.
Okay.
And we really liked Patrick Chung, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
We all liked the way he kind of went about his business. you know, moving around, very active, very looked. I mean, it's funny to say very physical, but like Andy described with Tyrone McKenzie, it looked like Chung wanted to get involved more than you were really kind of allowed to at all times. He looked like he wanted to kill somebody coming over the middle, really ready to drop the hammer. We liked the way he carried himself. That started on day one on Thursday. We talked about that last show, about when he came in here you know, for his press conference. Loved the way he handled himself in that setting, and I liked the way he looked on the field you know, with all the other rookies. I thought clearly, you know, the stuff that Andy said about Butler, you know, some of the mistakes he made notwithstanding, there was a clear difference to me between the way that some of those guys looked, Butler and Chung and you know, some of the tryout guys that you don't know as much about. I thought they were pretty impressive.
Now, as far as safeties go, there's rumors today that the Patriots have signed another safety, a 25-year-old vet, young vet, out of, I think he was with Chicago. Hey, doctor, look on ESPN, John Clayton. He's the one that broke it.
Who are we talking about?
McBride, maybe? Safety?
Turk?
No.
He's a defensive lineman, isn't he?
No, it's
not ringing any bells.
These are rumors I'm not familiar with.
I don't know, yeah. We're actually really breaking news.
Yeah, John Clayton broke it, and then
we don't know about it.
I retweeted it, and Reese, I saw, had it on his blog, you know, ESPN source. So,
okay.
Doctor's going to effort that. So that's another safety that they brought in.
But is he, you know, Antoine Spann?
I don't know. We'll find out in a second.
Is he legit or not?
Yeah.
We'll find out from doctor.
It's not Mike Brown.
We should touch on a couple of the other draft picks. We'll skip over the offensive and defensive linemen because, first of all, they were way the hell down on the other side of the field.
You could barely even see them. They're so big and you still couldn't really even see them.
Seabass is clearly the tallest. And
Brandon McGowan is the guy's name. Brandon McGowan.
I've heard that name.
I haven't.
But I don't know anything about him. Seabass has a broken nose from, I think, his helmet not fitting quite right and coming down and hitting the bridge of his nose.
He's a free agent safety. It's a 2-year contract.
Hmm.
All right.
Do you know anything about him?
Done, or?
I don't know.
Because I never heard of him.
I never heard of that name.
Okay.
Brandon McGowan.
I mean, I've heard of him, but
I was just going to say, you just said you did.
I haven't heard of him in terms of I have any idea what he is. And I might not, you know me, I might have heard another McGowan.
That's true.
I know there was like a I don't know how you pronounce the name, but McGarahan, maybe one of those guys is a safety.
I had no idea.
I never heard of Brandon.
Anyway, Edelman seems to be a guy that is getting a lot of differing opinions based on what he did for the first couple days. I know you mentioned Mike Reese. He fell in love with him the first day and was very intrigued by pretty much everything he did. I didn't like him so much. He's clearly very quick and very fast. He's working out of the slot. Obviously, he's a quarterback making the transition to either slot receiver or running back, where he also took reps on Saturday. But his route running is very, very herky-jerky, and he falls down a lot. Mm. And for a guy that short, that's kind of a rarity. Usually you see those guys have great feet. Their center of gravity is low. He tends to, it seems like he gets out over his feet. He gets overextended, so he's beyond his base.
Yeah, and
which may be, you know, day one and two jitters at receiver and learning the position and all that, but I just thought he fell down a lot in his routes and comebacks and in different option routes on the inside. Caught the ball okay, had some bad drops, had some good catches, was inconsistent there. But to me, the footwork, I would have thought, based on what I heard of him, that he was this great athlete and footwork and speed and quickness and all that would just come naturally, and it didn't.
It was kind of a wet field. I mean,
it was drizzling a little bit.
So a lot of the receivers were falling down. So
if I put Kevin Falk out there, he wouldn't have fallen down.
That could be Wes
Welker wouldn't have fallen
factor,
down.
But you know,
special.
How about my twin brother?
Brian Hoyer did a nice job throwing the ball.
Yeah,
struggled a tad on the first day when it was windy, and going into the wind, I thought he struggled a little bit. But other than that, I thought he threw it pretty well on
the afternoon practice Friday. That's really the only one.
Good
I
shot
thought.
At the third quarterback job.
And then on Saturday, you were here again, Andy. He threw it pretty well again.
Better, because it was a lot nicer, no dampness and no
nice
wind.
Day. Saturday
so
was a nice
he
day.
Didn't have any elements to deal with. But I thought he did a nice job, and he does kind of look like Eric. He's got the shaved head. Clean, bald head.
He's a guy that played at a pretty high level in the Big Ten. Now, he made a lot of mistakes. That was the knock on him. He was very mistake-prone with Michigan State. So, might be worth worth a look there, you know, and they don't really, they're not settled at the third quarterback spot, clearly with Gutierrez, because they let him go last year, so they weren't sold on him.
Right.
They only brought him back out of necessity with the injury to Brady.
So that'll be interesting.
That should be a decent battle, I would think, if they choose to, if Belichick chooses to bring him here. Now, he might just say, look, I have my three guys, I'll go with three, you know, and let it go at that. My guess is that
I say he makes it.
He'll have a fourth in camp just to lighten the throwing load, if nothing else, to lighten the throwing load a little bit.
Now, I also don't think we had a show since the Patriots signed this tight end out of Tampa Bay.
They traded for him.
Yes, that happened later in the day on Thursday, so no, we haven't had a show.
So what do you think of him, and does he take somebody's job, or what do you think?
I think it's I could easily see him making the team, and I wouldn't be totally surprised if he is released at the end of training camp.
Normally this is where I'd rip Eric for covering all his bases, but I think that's dead-on analysis of this guy. I think there's a chance he's your first, second, or third tight end. I think there's a chance he's on the street.
How does he compare to Baker?
I think Baker has an edge, I think.
Yeah, Baker's more experienced veteran. This guy
is... they gave Baker some money,
kind of
so he's not going anywhere.
I mean, he had a good rookie year. He's a four-year veteran. His production has petered out since then. But he hasn't had great quarterbacks to work with in Tampa. And my guess is... John Gruden and Bill Belichick spent the weekend before draft weekend at a coaching clinic in Florida together, University of Florida. My guess is Bill got a final stamp of approval from John Gruden as to whether Alex Smith was worth trading for or not. So sounds like he got a recommendation from his former coach in my mind.
And he did mention that it was kind of in the works for a little bit.
Yes.
So maybe that was the final thing that he needed, the final piece. But I don't
supposedly
know much about...
a fifth-round pick, by the way. It was announced as undisclosed, but pewterreport.com says it's a second-round pick.
Oh,
fifth round.
McGowan's the kid that went to Maine. He was undrafted in 05, and the Bears picked him up, you know, as an undrafted free agent. He's 5'11", about 207 pounds.
So Antoine Spann.
Yeah, he's got 105 tackles in his career, two interceptions, a couple pass deflections. So... you know, he did some things for Chicago, but, you know, he's not one of the better safeties.
He missed last season with an injury.
Missed last season with an injury, says Doctor. So, all right. Also, Larry Foote is available. He was released by the Steelers because of money.
I'm interested in him.
Yeah.
Especially if McKenzie has any kind of injury that will limit his participation as a rookie. I think Foote would make a lot of sense.
I do, too.
What's his stature? How tall is he?
6'1".
I'll look it up, but he's a guy that's played in a 3-4 for the majority of his career.
Would you say that the Steelers 3-4 is a little bit different than the Patriots 3-4? They do a lot more zone blitzing. They don't necessarily look for that tall guy as one of the outside backers.
Well, he's an inside guy. He's not an outside guy. He would be an inside backer. That's why I say if McKenzie this injury
even like, you know, Harrison, he's stout. He's not...
All right, here's the book on Foote.
But he was a developmental guy who they happened to just hit on.
Right.
They didn't draft him in the first round to be the ideal Steelers outside linebacker.
Right. 6'1", 239, that's ideal inside linebacker size, especially in this system.
Another Michigan guy.
Seventh year out of Michigan, yep. Trying to look for some stats. This is obviously doesn't...
Him next to Mayo?
Yeah, I think that would...
Remember Jen?
Put him in the mix.
Remember Jen in Illinois? Used to write in all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
She kind of went away. Big Michigan fan. She was a big Larry Foote fan.
Yeah.
She wanted us to draft him, I remember, way back when.
Going into last season, he pretty consistent. I mean, he started 16 games for the previous, from 2004 through 2007. This is last year's media guide, so it doesn't have the 08 stats in it. But at that point, 94 games played, 67 starts, 288 tackles, 427, 288 solo, 13 sacks. So, you know, has some playmaking ability, consistent, injury-free for the most part, it seems like. So I think it'd be worth taking a look, your homework on the guy.
He's going to want some money, though, huh? You know, he's been around.
Well, I mean, he's going into his eighth year now?
Yeah, I think his cap number was $2.8 million this year.
I believe you're right.
So...
yeah.
Going into his eighth year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think he'll break the bank.
Yeah.
And now, clearly, if he's looking for that, then, you know, I don't think the Patriots are in play. But
I don't think so.
No, I'm saying if he's looking to break the bank.
Oh, no. But what about if he's looking for, you know, $2.8 million?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Certainly also.
I don't think he'll get that much.
If Jason Taylor is in the mix and then is not in the mix and you were kind of holding some money there for a linebacker, I think that would be feasible.
I think that a guy like that, provided, you know, and Bill knows, obviously, I think it goes without saying, but he knows a lot more about the systems. You know, you mentioned, Fred, that maybe Pittsburgh's is a little different than the Patriots, 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bill will know, okay, he did A, B, and C in Pittsburgh. We'd only ask him to do B and C, but he also needs to do, you know, D.
Right.
And can he do it? Bill knows that. So I would think an experienced guy who's played in a 3-4, played inside, has some versatility. You know, as a guy that Eric just read off the stats, he has a few, you know, 13 sacks is not, it's not a bad number for an inside guy.
Right.
It's like 2 a year.
Has some experience, you know, starting experience, some durability. I would think he makes a lot of sense.
All right.
I just wanted to, quick update on the roster. Draft picks don't count right now. Obviously, they haven't signed contracts. Right now, the Patriots have 91 players on the quote-unquote roster, but that includes the draft picks. So when they sign those guys, a lot of these guys that we're talking about, these rookie free agents and such, 11 of them will have to go. So,
all right. So don't get too attached.
Don't get too attached. And it could be some other guys. It could be.
Don't buy any green bananas.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they'd have to get rid of 11 people in some way before
training
camp. They're
not going to die, Fred, but they're, you know, they just won't be around for a while.
Yeah, you can bring your green banana with you.
Right.
I guess, you know, if you're prone to be carrying bananas around, then...
Eric always has bananas with him.
Do
you like bananas or not?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
It's good for the potassium.
Like a straight banana, or a good curved banana?
All right.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
Now, so the Patriots rookie minicamp is done. What's the next step? What's the next step for fans to look forward to?
Rookies cannot return here until May 15th or until after their school graduates, whichever is later. But at that point, those guys will return and the veterans will be here. There'll be some passing camps and OTAs in the middle of May here, which I believe we have some access to late in May, last week of May, I believe.
Yep.
And then, obviously, this all leads into mini camp in early June.
Mandatory. Yep.
Yes. So that's kind of, and, you know, they're obviously finishing up the offseason.
I just saw Ellis Hobbs.
What?
Where?
He walked into the All-Access studio.
He's doing an internship with them.
Yeah.
He needs to finish it for like his degree. It's like he has to get it signed off on.
Right.
That's a kick in the stones.
It's also mildly awkward.
Yeah.
So, I heard Matt Smith, who runs our Kraft Sports production, say, "Hey, Ellis, did you find a place to live yet?" I was like, "No, I don't have time for that yet." So,
it'd be funny if part of his internship is to go and interview some of the players.
But he's
doing graphics.
Yeah.
Stuff on the, I don't know, Avid or some graphic crap.
So
he wants to be an illustrator for Disney.
Ellis Hobbs in the house.
That's one of those tough ones for me because I do think that you could do much better on the field than Ellis Hobbs. But I like the guy. I like the person himself. I thought he played hard. I liked his competitiveness and all that stuff. So I do wish him well.
That's why I wanted to keep him as my $2.3 million kick returner.
Yeah, I know. So that's a tough one for me. I mean, I definitely understand, and I'm kind of with the fans on this one. I think that you can do better than Ellis Hobbs.
Well, did you read Peter King at all today or yesterday?
I saw that little clip.
Thing with Tom Heckert.
Who it was talking?
Well, he interviewed or talked to Heckert on the phone, on his cell phone. Probably.
Oh, was it a text or a cell phone? Because sometimes I'm unclear, and that's why I'm glad that he clears
it had to be more than a text because, you know, Heckert's quoted in there as saying that, you know, once the Patriots signed Bodden in Springs and did all that stuff, Heckert supposedly says, hey, let's make a run. And then they drafted, you know,
Butler.
They said, well, let's make a run at Hobbs. Let's see if they want to give us Hobbs. And that's how that started. And the first time that he asked Belichick, he said no. But then for whatever reason, they asked again, and Bill was more open to it the second time. So
there was also some analysis of that from the Boston Globe that I thought was kind of strange.
Oh.
Like, that it all had to do with Rich Ohrenberger, and because he was available, they did it. And if he hadn't been available, Ellis Hobbs would still be a Patriot.
Which really didn't make a lot of sense to me.
On so many levels.
So, All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. The Dalai Lama was in town this weekend and
sporting his Patriots
wearing
hat.
A Patriots cap.
Indeed.
That's got to be good karma for this season. It's all locked up now.
Unless he goes to some other NFL team.
I was
going to
say,
hats
he's
too.
Clearly just in it for the cheap pop. No. Mick Foley-like.
No, we have an agreement with him. He's under contract with us.
So we got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah. Paul's not interested.
That was a strange
weekend.
And
the Dalai Lama, no, you're right.
There were people here for the Dalai Lama, but then, in between shows, they're, drinking and eating burgers and just a strange, strange meeting of...
I think a lot of people just wanted to hear his message, you know? You don't have to be a vegetarian or...
I was under the impression that
I didn't mean vegetarian. I felt like he is, the Eric crowd, and the people that were here then turned into the Andy and Pauls and just had burgers and beers in between.
I thought he was doing two separate shows.
He did.
No, but it's... You bought one ticket for the day, and you attended both shows. I thought
you could do either or. There was a choice.
Oh, there was?
Yeah. There was 10,000 something for the first one and 15 and change for the second or something like that.
Very interesting.
I just thought it was a weird dynamic. Because there was all... Yeah. I mean, if you looked in the parking lot, it crossed all... I mean, there were all kinds of people and dress and attire and young and old and just very strange.
It's a message of inclusion. That's what you want. Diversity.
That person who cut me off in traffic on his way in to see the Dalai Lama, peace, love, and happiness, till he was cutting me off.
Was he in a hybrid?
Jerk.
At least he was in a hybrid.
It might have been a Prius.
You got your fastball today.
It might have been a Prius.
Did he come out in the Lama Mobile?
Does he have a Lama Mobile?
I don't know.
And some Secret Service guy was eyeing me. I think he thought I was a sniper or something out here. This place was crawling with feds and Secret Service and all
that. Well, yeah, sure.
And he was eyeing me.
I don't blame him. I'd eye you too.
Yeah.
I'd get you the hell out of here.
It's a wise move by the Secret Service, though.
I would not have minded had he got me the hell out of here at around 10 when he was eyeing me.
The Patriots Twitter, @RealPatriots, continues to grow. It's getting up to around 7,000 followers right now. We have almost as many followers as the Dalai Lama.
Why, how many does he have?
I'm just
14
kidding.
Sound
it's a joke.
Fred.
Yeah.
Are your sources telling you that the report that Dolphin Stadium is going to become Landshark Field, is that accurate?
I heard that too.
Did you hear it or did you read it on Pro Football Talk like I did?
I think I read it.
Like we all did.
Yeah.
Because I'd prefer you told me Jonathan told you because then I'd say, oh, I guess it's true.
What is Landshark? Is that a company now?
Lager. It's a beer.
It's one of Jimmy Buffett's beers.
Well, that's cool.
Because he's
kind of weird, though.
He has
the Dolphins
with the
play
now?
At Landshark.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like mixing your metaphors or something.
I know.
Yeah, it is. That is weird. Because a shark isn't a dolphin, one's a mammal. Right. One's a mammal and the other's a fish, right?
They're That's not even... classic Fred Gers. A shark's not a dolphin.
Fred, how about the situation at Dallas for the rookie minicamp?
Not
the,
good.
The indoor practice facility was blown
now that
down.
Is,
the roof collapsed.
Now, that is the same manufacturer as the one that made ours.
And one of those, was it the special teams coach? Which coach? It was a scout. It was a scout.
A scout was paralyzed. And the special teams coach broke his back in a couple of places.
That's unbelievable. That's really, really awful.
Tragic.
Did you see any of that?
I saw the footage, yeah.
Now, my question was, and Andy kind of joked with me, but they had the video guys out there, you know, obviously shooting practice, and the lights are swinging back and forth, and the buttresses, everything was moving.
Yeah.
And they're filming it, and I'm thinking to myself, didn't someone say we probably should get out of here?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think they probably thought it was going to hold.
Right. Or as I said, it might have happened before. They might have had this happen 5 times before and it never fell down.
But see, to me, if it had happened before, all the more reason I'm getting out of here. Because at some point is going to be the last one.
But it's like fire drills. People hear it and just assume it's a drill or hear it's... At some point, it's the boy who cried wolf and you start...
It's amazing that none of the players got hurt.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I took away from that, too.
Well, I think the thing that they were lucky and with those structures is there's not a lot of structure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cloth and plastic and stuff, and there's only a certain number of
it's
the beams
ribbing.
And stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like a whole entire steel roof.
Terrible story.
That would just crush everybody.
On the phone right now is Mike in Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
Yo estoy bien. ¿Cómo están ustedes?
Sí. What'd you do with John? Did you have him bumped off? John's usually the first caller. What happened?
Well, you got to take care of the Puerto Rican mafia, you know.
Okay.
We had him chopped up and made into Puerto Rican stew. So.
Oh, so no more Friday outtakes? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I could tie up the job if Fred lets me. I think I got better grammar.
Wow. Oh boy, John's not going to be happy when he calls in later.
A couple of things. First, I don't know if you talked about this before I came on, but I read somewhere that Charrone McKenzie got hurt in the rookie minicamp.
Yes, he did.
Knee or something.
Yeah, it was in a one-on-one.
He was covering a running back on a passing drill, and I guess they got tangled up, and he went down and with an apparent knee injury. We don't know how severe. We don't know if it's going to be something that's going to linger, but he didn't practice the rest of that practice, and Andy was here. He did not come back for the afternoon practice as well, so I don't think that can be viewed as a good sign.
Yeah, because you guys were speaking glowingly of him, and I was actually getting excited about him being, you know, part of the rotation and stuff, and just hearing that over the weekend, it's like, man, we just can't catch a break with the injuries.
Yeah.
What was the other thing I was going to ask you about? I was looking yesterday at the website, and, I mean, you guys got a thorough. I haven't checked, obviously. I don't check any other team's website, but you got, obviously, the podcast on, and you got the Patriots Today. Is that the other one, which is the video one?
Yeah.
Is there anything that we need to do, anybody we need to talk to get the all access? Because I know you can stream it, but I was wondering if there's any way that you can download it, like on iTunes and stuff.
All Access is on the site, so you can watch it. I'm assuming that you can download it as well.
I checked. I saw it on the Patriots.com, and you can stream it with the whole Samsung, and whatever.
Yep.
But you can't download it.
Well, Chris Ferrer, webmaster, will email in and tell us what the deal is with that. You know, it's an hour show and it's video, so it's going to take you quite a ways to download it. But I suppose we could make it available for download.
You know? Is that a weekly show?
Not during the off season. In the off season they do specials, like for example around the draft or during minicamp. But during the season, it's a weekly show and it's an hour.
Hey man, anything I can do to get my Patriots fixed, I mean, just help me out, okay?
Okay. We'll do that.
We'll get that. We'll talk to Chris Ferreira.
Okay. And there was one last thing that I wanted to talk to. I keep hearing about I always heard the two names being involved, obviously Peppers and Taylor. And then I was browsing through some of the sites, and I heard the name. I read the name LaBoy, like somebody that we might be interested in getting into the outside linebacker spot. And I know there's a player out there. I think he played for, like, the Cardinals or something.
Yes, Travis LaBoy.
Who?
Travis LaBoy is a guy who played some defensive end and has played some outside linebacker. He got released the beginning of April by the Cardinals. I don't know why. He was he signed a 5-year contract as a free agent, played 1 year, and they let him go. Now, I know he got hurt in the NFC Championship game. He hurt his bicep. I think he may have torn a bicep muscle or something. Now, I don't know if that had anything to do with it as to why he was released or what, but he hasn't been a terribly productive player. He's been good. He's been okay. And certainly I think you'd be a guy on paper that the Patriots would be interested in, if for no other reason, to have another guy in that mix with the younger guys that are already on the roster. But I haven't heard anything from the Patriots about that, and you know, I don't know a tremendous amount about Travis LaBoy other than that.
Okay, because, I just saw it out there, and obviously it could turn out like a Mike Vrabel. Like, maybe he didn't produce at some other team, but we get him over here, and then we give him a legitimate shot and into our scheme, and he might produce. You could say that about everybody, but I just saw that name out there, and I was wondering if you guys had any info on it.
Yeah, he started his career in Tennessee, and then he went to Arizona, and now he's on the street. So I don't know what the deal is there.
And I heard you guys talk about Larry Footy just before I came on. I didn't hear the whole thing. But, again, a 3-4 linebacker, I mean, if he's any good, and especially considering the McKenzie situation now, which we don't know what's going to happen, and we probably will never know what actually going to happen. But it might be somebody interesting to look into to try to get into the rotation. And last but not least, did you remember I told you guys about the Pacquiao-Hatton fight?
Yeah, you
Yeah, you were a little wrong, weren't you? Didn't you think it was going to be a long fight?
I thought it was. I was incredibly surprised and actually horrified at the knockout. The knockout was pretty vicious.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw it.
I did not see it, but I read about it.
I didn't see it.
It sounded pretty bad.
It was horrific. It was second round, and it's not even the punch or the fact that his head hit the canvas. Mm. It's the angle at which it hit it. I mean, the minute that the head fell down, you know what was it, Chris Everett thing, where they go unconscious and their arms go limp?
Oh, yeah.
Well, not limp, or the opposite of limp.
Right, stiff. Standing straight up in the air, yeah.
No, it didn't. It wasn't even that he stood up straight in the air. It's that it actually went through the whole motion. And just like in the stiff motion, like whenever somebody tells you to put your hand up on top of your arm and then tells you to go up, and then involuntarily the hand goes up like very slightly.
Yep.
That, I mean, it was just creepy. And he's a good guy. I mean, good boxer and everything, but he's a good guy. So I was kind of worried about it. But again, it's going to be an interesting year as far as boxing. And I just wanted to see if you guys saw it. Apparently you didn't.
No, I didn't get to see it. Saturday night it was at a lacrosse game.
He was having his own boxing matches at lacrosse game.
All right, Mike.
All right.
We'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Thanks for everything, and help me out with the All-Access, okay?
All right. Fred will get on that. Chris Ferreira said press shift F5.
Okay. So, no, I know we put the All-Access. We're now putting all the All-Accesses up after the fact, so you can watch it on Patriots.com. Don't know if Chris is making it available as a download, but, you know, I suppose we could.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. All right.
By the way, Mike Parenti, former PFW in Progress co-host,
yes,
who's in the boxing industry at this point, was dead on. Said Pacquiao, I asked him last week after Mike called, actually, and said Pacquiao was going to kill Hatton. And he went out there and killed him, all right.
Hey, the Patriots announced this morning that there will be 4 legacy games this year. And these are games in which the Patriots will be wearing their throwback uniform, their red or white 1963 jersey.
As will the other team.
I'm liking it, Fred.
And the first one, of course, we know is the Buffalo Bills game, the Monday Nighter on September 4th here at Gillette. The second one will be on October 11th at Denver.
Yes. And Denver's uniforms, according to Eric Scalvino, are like brown and yellow and stuff.
Yeah.
With a brown helmet.
I like it.
Yeah. And then the third one is October 18th, the next week.
Denver won't be wearing those uniforms?
No.
They're wearing their 1960 inaugural uniforms.
Ugh.
According to the league.
I like
release.
It.
Yeah. So October 18th, the third one, it's at Gillette against the Titans. So I'm assuming the Titans will be wearing the
Houston Oilers.
Oilers.
Oh, I wonder if they'll wear the light blue helmet.
Weren't they something before the Oilers?
They will.
They'll wear the light blue helmet, I would think. If everybody's doing 1960?
No, not everybody, because we're not. No, that's it.
We're doing 63.
60 to 63. Is the range of the team.
And then the light blue helmet would be in play for the AFL Oilers,
that'd be awesome.
I would think.
That would be cool.
And then the final legacy game will be on December 6th at Miami.
And Miami really doesn't have a legacy uniform.
They're kind of the same thing now, right?
They're not much different than what they are now.
So 2 home games and 2 away games wearing the legacy.
So 2 like reds, uniforms. 2 whites?
I hope so, yeah.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Michael reminded me of something that I wanted to bring up, and I forgot what it was now. All right.
Anyway. Had a pretty wide range
Puerto
of
Rican
call.
Mafia?
No, I forget.
Stu?
Mm. All Access?
Boxing?
Oh, well, that is something. The All Access. Did you guys see that?
No.
What? Unbelievable in war room footage with, you know, obviously Bill Belichick and Ernie Adams and Nick Caserio. It was real, real good stuff. So if you haven't watched it on Patriots.com yet, check it out. Exclusive war room footage. You know, they show him trying to make trades and how the phones are ringing. And, you know, Belichick's got 2 phones up to his ear. It's pretty cool.
I'll have to check it out on Patriots.com because I don't get Channel 4 down in Rhode Island. So.
You'll also have to do it at home if you plan on watching it on anything other than a slideshow.
Oh, is it really that bad? Up here?
Never
here?
Been able to watch any other videos here. So
well, if you get in early in the morning like I do, you can watch your video.
It's tough here.
Watch it at home.
You know,
we got bandwidth issues here.
If you get in before 10 o'clock, you're all set.
I've never been in after 10 in my life.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Sean in Singapore.
Speaking of Singapore, did you see that the panda might be pregnant? In Washington? Ming Yong or whatever the name is?
Yeah?
They suspect, based on hormone levels and other activities, that the panda's pre- that's big.
Okay.
It's tough to breed pandas these days, or any other days.
These days.
Anyway, Sean says, hey, guys, and Eric of PFW in Progress, I'm just curious on your definition of a good draft class. Would you prefer a draft class that, A, has one Gerard Mayo impact kind of player in a draft class and the rest don't make the cut? Or B, have a 3-4 Merriweather kind of player, solid contributors but not great in a class, but none that will stand out? Have three or four like that. Personally, I would prefer the second option. What about you guys?
Can you repeat the options again? I heard the second one because it confused me with the 3-4 Merriweather. I thought you were talking about the 3-4 defense.
Three or four good players or one great.
Yeah.
He's saying Mayo was great.
I'll take the Mayo draft.
I actually think the way the Patriots have been doing it works pretty well if you kind of
alternate. Well, it depends on the team. Yeah. If you're like the Patriots, the Mayo draft. But if you're a team that really needs a lot of help, you'd rather have some quantity.
No,
then.
I'd rather have the 3 or 4 good players, unless the guy is, I mean, he'd have to be a lot better. This is no disrespect to Mayo, but for the one great player to overshadow 3 or 4 good ones, it'd have to be a lot better than Mayo last year.
Okay.
I like the way the Patriots have kind of.
I do, too.
I don't think it's intentional. I think some drafts they've hit on more than others, deeper, whatever, but they've kind of bounced between drafts where they get 4 or 5 guys, then a draft where they just get the top guy, and then 4 or 5, you know, kind of bouncing around.
Yeah, I would need a guy that's a perennial all-pro, you know, potential Hall of Fame kind of player to outweigh that. You know, like a game-changing kind of LT.
Mayo could be this year. He's looking for the big plays.
Well, if he is, then I would say, yeah, I would agree with Eric. I would say I would rather have one Mayo
but
if
you
he's
look
that
back
good.
At that
I'm just looking at the 2003, based on 1 year so far.
I believe. That's Warren, Wilson, Copen, Samuel. I mean, that right there because...
I would rather have that, but that's unrealistic, too.
He also ended up with an all-pro corner in the fourth round.
If once a year you could pick up a star of Mayo's caliber at a position that you need...
Oh, absolutely.
You'd be doing great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not...
Well, you'd still start to fall behind.
But eventually, but
I think it would take too long.
But
if you only got
a player
every 4
good.
Years, you'd have to kind of,
But I'm saying, if you looked at it now and you lose Mankins and Neal or one of those, you lose Wilfork, Moss retires, you're not in a position where you can afford to just graft one player. You're going to be having to restock.
It's funny you bring that up, though, because a lot of the emails lately, too, and I don't know
hate the drafts?
Well, yeah. They're
overrated. Bill is awful. I want Pioli back. I mean, those are some of the phrases we've heard.
But some of them have been a little bit over the top.
Zip code Kansas City.
Some of them have been a little bit over the top like that, but some of them have been more balanced in their objective in talk. And I don't necessarily agree with them because I think the Patriots have done better than some of the fans have given them credit for, but they're talking about the last 4 or 5 drafts now, you're not really replacing the way you once did, and at some point, as you just mentioned, Andy, with Mankins, Neal, potentially Seymour, Wilfork, when these guys are all gone, do they have are they drafting players that are going to fill in the way they used to? And I think the fans are being a little bit too hard because I think they drafted a little bit better than they're giving credit for. But at the same time, not as well as they did in the earlier part of the Belichick regime.
Draft with just Merriweather and nothing else really hurt.
That hurt.
I mean, you got nothing. That really sets you back. That's why I don't think you can really do the one and done. And I know Merriweather doesn't really count because he's not even an elite player.
Right.
But I think you need to have a couple, at least for a couple years, a couple Randall Gay types or guys that, are decent, play a little bit for a year or two, and then you restock them with other low-round picks. Yeah. And I know you feel this way, Fred, or I think you feel it. This year's draft could be kind of like that Copen, Samuel, Wilson.
Yep.
Where
some quality depth.
One of those. I think this is going to be one of those drafts that you look back and you say, wow, they got 3 or 4 or 5 players that contributed.
And the thing that's also hurt them is the second round. They've swung and missed in the second round on guys that flat out, I mean, we say like Graham wasn't as good as he was supposed to be, but at least he was here and producing. But guys like Marquise Hill,
Chad Jackson,
didn't play and then
Bethel
ended up
Johnson,
passing
Bethel
away.
Johnson,
but those guys,
Chad.
Those are just pure misses where you – couple years later, they're not even on your roster.
Yep.
And barely in the league.
Right. And that's what some of the emailers were alluding to, that they haven't gotten
you have
those,
to balance that out with.
They have a lot of guys in the last 5 years that not only aren't contributing, they're not even on the team anymore.
I mean, you also balance it out with first-round picks. If they get a first-round pick, it's a starter for 5 or 6 years at the minimum.
Yeah. Bill's been great.
Because as much as Graham was a disappointment, he was a starting tight end in the league.
And I still insist he's a better player than the guy they have now.
Well, yeah, but they're both disappointments. Now you're comparing degrees of bustiness.
Yeah.
Well, which I like to do on occasion.
I was going to say, that's not always a bad thing.
And you were talking about Fred, Alex Smith. Whoa. Do you think that that has anything? I mean, you know, we saw them trade Hobbs, you know, entering the last year of his contract. Do you think the Alex Smith acquisition has anything to do with Benjamin Watson?
Absolutely.
Oh, I wouldn't be stunned if he got cut. I'd be surprised.
No. Last year of his contract, if you get this guy in here and you can see that he can do a few things, maybe he's athletic. Maybe he – I don't know what he is as a blocker. I have no idea.
I've read varying things. Some say he's done it. Others say he's kind of soft and not all that interested in doing it. If that's the case, I don't think he'll fly very far.
Well, if he can't block, then it's a moot point. But if he can block,
like
and he can
apples
do
for apples, then.
Yeah, he can do different things, then I wonder if maybe this has something to do with Benjamin Watson. And the guy who's
the most likely scenario is that it's Watson, Smith, and Baker, I would think. Those are your three.
Would think that's the
even
the
if you consider Watson, you're blocking tight end.
Yeah. Yeah, this Fred's guy, Carl Mecklenburg.
Oh yeah.
Watching 1994, Kansas City and Denver on NFL Network. Yeah.
John in Hawaii says, be grateful, Fred, that the Pats didn't draft a certain linebacker from USC. Otherwise, we'd have to listen to you saying Maluga instead of the correct pronunciation, Maluga, for years to come.
Nope, that wasn't it.
Maluga.
There it is.
You're even luckier. The Steelers matched the offer sheet. The Pats extended to Chris Famuta Mafala.
Fuamata
Mafala.
A bad Malafala.
Shut your mouth.
All right, on the phone right now is Big Al from Georgia. Al, how you doing?
Very good, fellas. You know, I hear the Llama's a really big hitter.
He's a big hitter, the 12th son of the Llama.
Underrated. Underrated.
Underrated
the
hitter.
Flowing robes,
into
bald. Very impressive.
At the bottom of a 10,000-foot glacier.
Yeah, I saw that movie when it came out in the theaters, and, you know, there really weren't such a thing as VCRs yet, not quite. Then when it came out on cassette, of course, I bought the cassette. Then it came out later on VHS Hi-Fi, so it's better sound, so you had to get that. And then, of course, it came out on DVD.
And of course, Andy's never seen it, so.
You got the Blu-ray now, Big Al?
No, I've not gone Blu-ray yet. I did get the Anniversary Edition DVD after getting the regular DVD. So the next step would be the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And after that, I guess Bill Murray comes to my house and shakes my hand.
I don't know if Blu-ray's going to fly.
See, well, the thing about it is DVD players as a whole are going away. Everything's going direct to your computer or your TV as a download. So
Blu-ray doesn't really have much of a chance then.
Not long term. No.
Expensive enhanced DVDs.
Yeah. What are you going to
do? Anyways, I want to just chime in. You mentioned about the throwback unis. I'm, as an old AFL fan, I'm really psyched about that. And as far as Denver goes, if they're going to go with the brown, they did have the original brown and gold.
Yeah, that's what they're going with.
Colors, you know, when they first started, before they got into the orange and all that, they were brown and gold. And it'd be interesting to see if they go totally authentic with the vertically striped socks, which were panned at the time as being a sign of, you know, the AFL is, you know, this junk league. Look at those ugly socks.
My guess is they'll be panned nowadays,
I would think,
too.
Vertical stripes.
But they have they did have kind of a cult following after everybody. You know, it's like a lot of things. You hate them when they're there, and then you miss them when they're gone. But we'll see if they actually get that authentic with them, or if they can't stand the look of the vertically striped Broncos socks. But if the Pats had wanted to go back to the original helmet, I was all for the tri-cornered hat. But I'm not sure how much, if you want to go into the sales of throwback gear and all that, I don't know what you could do with that. I guess they're probably better off going with Pat the Patriot.
Pat Patriot is still very popular here around all over New England, really.
We got the media guy down in front of us.
For those
Broncos.
People who don't realize that they won 3 Super Bowls with the new logo.
And it's got pictures of all of their
Why do you make
old...
fun of the fans so much, Fred? Why do you hate the fans?
It's Pat Patriot, while he was the logo, people didn't like it.
But why do you
that,
hate
that goes
that's
away.
Not true, Fred. But why do you
that
hate
not
fans?
True.
I don't hate fans.
And that's also
Paul. That's your job.
It's human nature.
It's very,
what Al just said.
That's your job, Paul.
A lot of things
I
you don't like, and then
I
go
hate
away.
Myself.
I still
hate,
prefer
hate the
fans.
Old logo
that's
to
really
the new
sad.
One.
What's that?
I've always liked the old logo better than the new one.
Here's the thing, fellas. People have always liked the old logo.
So are you?
There was a time back. This is during the Sullivan era, and
I remember this. Go ahead.
You have to. you'd have to go back and look through at some old video or something. I can't remember the year. I think it might have been early 80s.
Yep, San Diego.
The Sullivans were thinking about changing away from Pat the Patriot back then. And they actually had a fan participation thing out at midfield where the both the old logo and the new logo, and I can't remember what the new logo was going to look like, but they were painted on the AstroTurf at the time. It was AstroTurf at Schaefer. And they had a, you know, the guy was out there in the middle of the field and he stood next to the new logo and people applauded. And then he stood next to the old, you know, Pat the Patriot, the existing logo, and the place just went nuts. I mean, it's like, keep Pat the Patriot.
Absolutely.
So
the only votes the new logo got where everybody was booing, saying, we want the old one. That was the only level of participation the new one got. It was either in 78 or 79. I'm looking in the media guide, Al.
Right.
They played San Diego at home fairly early in both of those seasons, one on September 23rd and one on October 1st. I remember my brother going to that game, but I don't remember what year it was. Because I remember my brother saying, I kind of like the new one, but everybody was booing, so I just
jumped on
board. What did it
look like? Remember? What did it look like?
I really don't remember.
I
don't recall, Senator.
It had stars in it. And
it was a similar color scheme. It was all red, white, and blue.
It was
a very minor change.
It had stars in it and some kind of flowing thing through it.
It had like a ribbon stripe.
Yes.
I kind of agree with Fred in that. I have never been overly enamored with the Pat Patriot. To me, it looks like a guy taking a dump.
Yeah.
He looks like he's bending over taking a dump.
It's too
complicated. Andy, you must like it.
That's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
It was different.
It is different, and you know, it's funny. Even here in Georgia, where I've been living here for years and years, you know, any high school around here that is called the Patriots, they still use the Pat the Patriot logo as their helmet.
Really, they don't use the new one?
No, they don't.
A lot of schools use the old one.
Oh, really? Because I know a lot of schools use the new one too.
There's a school in Atlanta, I guess Peachtree High School, the Peachtree Patriots, and they still use Pat.
Yeah, good for them.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure, well, I don't even know anymore, but Revere used to use the old one for a long time. They were they had Pop Warner teams.
I've never
all
seen
of them with the Patriots.
Portsmouth here using the new one.
Portsmouth, Rhode Island used the old one. No, they used the old one.
Yeah.
Now they have just a P, but they still have like the red and blue stripes on the white helmet. Kind of thing, so they kept the kind of the same look.
Now, I have no problem with the Elvis. I don't like the colors, the new uniforms. I never have. I didn't like the old blue ones that they used in the early 90s.
The royal blue.
Yeah, I never liked those. Why I liked even less than the ones that we have now.
Right.
Ours are better now, I think. But I don't really
like
these.
Well, I understood why we went to blue. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I think the British wore red.
Right.
So I don't know why you'd want to have an American team, you know, from the Revolutionary War era, wearing red.
Plus, on the logo,
I think you'd want to wear blue.
Details, Al.
On the logo, the Pat's wearing a blue jacket and red socks. So, I mean, I guess they would have looked too much like the Buffalo Bills uniforms at the time because they had blue shirts and red socks with white.
Oh, the original Buffalo Bills uniforms were ugly. Believe me, some of these teams don't want to go back to their original uniforms because they were just that bad. I mean,
what do you think of those, Andy? We have the Broncos media guide open.
I like the socks. To me, the socks are the most distinctive part of those old Broncos uniforms. Other than that, they kind of look like old Redskins uniforms.
Yeah, believe me, they
were
unaware
of
the time, and I guess they had a big bonfire.
Oh, yeah, very much like the Redskins.
You know, it was a big issue.
Oh, they
there.
Burnt them. I like them. Be different. Don't be afraid to be different. That's what I say.
I kind of like the mid '60s with the blue on the sleeve.
I like the second Bucking Bronco logo.
Yeah.
Is a cool
logo.
Well,
fellas, take care. Gunga the Gunga. And have a great day.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
I'm often not a fan of Giselle or Mrs. Brady at this point, but she looked pretty good on the red carpet in that short sequins
dress
last night.
I saw a picture
night.
In the track today.
She filled that one out okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to Phil in Stamford, Connecticut,
average.
There's a Brady watch out there, and they say there are rumors that Giselle is pregnant. So that's on one of those celebrity websites.
What do we care?
We don't.
One year.
I mean, in many ways, that's generally the order of operations. You know, it wasn't the first time.
I think a lot of people would want to know that if it was true.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why this paparazzi follows him around and her around.
Because idiots like you buy people and
not,
all those magazines.
Not just me, but I think a lot of people.
Not just me. Do you get one of those?
You know, people's or... prurient interests.
You said it correctly on the first shot. Very proud of you, Fred.
First shot of today.
Yeah.
But today. The 750th shot of the show.
No, but today. Well, you know,
that celebrity gossip is big business, and they're celebrities. So if she's pregnant, I think, you know, people will want to know that.
And that will be one of the more. I mean, there's a few, like Brad and Angelina, those kind of things, but there's not a ton of dual celebrity couples.
Right.
I mean,
power couples.
That's a power couple, and their offspring
according
will be...
to the latest People, Brad packed up and moved out.
Really?
That's what the cover said. You can't believe
it. Leaving her with the
kids. Oh, there's no more room. The kids are taking up all the bedrooms. Phil also says, I think the Alex Smith trade was a great move, the tight end. I don't think the Patriots will cut Alex Smith since we gave up our 2010 fifth rounder for him. Which rookie do you think will make the biggest impact this season? And also, Dalai Lama visited the Patriots, and I got to say, he looks great in a Patriots cap. Could the Dalai Lama play outside linebacker?
No, I think he'd be more of a corner, cover corner. Undersized, but he's pretty quick.
Which rookie will make the biggest impact this season?
Chung.
You say Chung.
Chung.
I agree. I think
Butler.
Chung. You think Butler. Yeah. Okay.
I think Butler, too.
You think Butler? Yeah. Because of special team stuff, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be. And maybe a little
bit. Chung's going to play
special
a little
bit
teams,
on offense, too.
That's true. You're right. I'm going to change to Butler because when he lets those punts bounce off his face.
Because he dropped a punt in his first practice. That means he can't play.
Matt from Boston. The Patriots chose quite a few defensive tackles in this draft. Is this most likely because we're still looking for a solid backup behind Wilfork and need two or three fresh guys to help with that?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, they've tried to develop a backup nose for generations, and it hasn't worked. And then, obviously, Wilfork's on the horizon. So you got a top-level one in Brace, in theory, and maybe a developmental one in either Pryor or, depending on what Richard plays, whether he, you know, bulks up and becomes a tackle or stays outside and is an end.
The Wilfork thing's going to get interesting.
Yeah.
If by interesting you mean when he leaves, that's...
Well, I mean, I don't want to close any doors, but that's going to be a tough sign. That's going to be a tough signing.
But he says all the like you know he
yes,
wants to stay.
The
here.
He's playing the game.
Yeah,
I think he probably
doing it very well.
I think he probably does, but I don't even think he's lying. I think
I
he probably
either.
Does want to stay here. Yeah. But he wants.
But
to
he
get
also
paid.
Alluded to he thinks he's going to be here in some
you know,
of his comments.
I think he wants
now,
to get paid.
I think he should get paid. Now he shouldn't get Albert Haynesworth money,
but I think that's
he
what
should,
he's going to look for.
Well, I think he should get some good money though.
What's good money?
You know, it's hard for me to
say. Mid-30s guaranteed to like, even enter the contest,
right.
I think.
$41 million guaranteed is what Haynesworth got.
Yeah, okay.
So I can see
I'm
going to
guess he's
going to
look for 35 at minimum. And I'm not
that's
sure the Patriots
are
going to be
willing
to give that
the total sum of Seymour's contract.
All right, let's just forget about what's guaranteed. If you're just going to give him per year,
forget
what would you
about
give him?
What's guaranteed,
what do you think
he's the opposite of what all the other people
no,
that analyze
I
this stuff are doing.
But what do you just think he's worth per year? Let's assume he's going to make every dollar of it. What do you think he's going to should make per year?
Seven to eight.
I would say.
Yeah, I go with
knocking
that.
On the door of double digits.
Okay, so let's say you do.
Throw at a tough position.
Let's
5 years, $40 million.
I was going to say that's, 5 years, $35 million.
That's seven.
$25 million of a guarantee. Now that's good.
That's very good.
I don't think it's that good. It's less than Seymour.
Yeah, but it's more than. It's almost 60% of it guaranteed.
Who cares?
Yeah. It's not less the percentage. Than Seymour had guaranteed.
It's the bottom line of what's guaranteed, and it's not guaranteed over $35 million.
But in 5 years, he can do another contract,
or he could be dead.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think he's going to be 11 years into the league.
I think
at that
your
point.
Best option might be to go to him and say, and this would take up, but give him like a Seymour type deal. Here's 5 years, $38 million, 100% guaranteed, or virtually 100% guaranteed.
Which is what Seymour got.
Right.
Seymour got 4 years, $30 million.
Guaranteed.
Virtually guaranteed.
It was like 28 and change was guaranteed.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have to do something like that, but again, it's going to be like $10 million more than Seymour. And
yeah,
I think
well,
I would
and
do
it's
it.
Also 4 years.
And you would do it.
And it's 4 years later.
He's really good and really important.
Well,
I do
too. We're going to have to find out about Ron Brace.
I think you're going to find
that's gonna
out.
That's going to be a big.
Whoa, that's Ron Brace?
Yeah.
He's really been riding that B.J. Raji's coattails,
and
huh?
If that happens, then I'm right. I'm on board with Andy. I have to do.
I don't
I have
think
to
Wilfork
bite the
has to take
and
a
do
discount
that.
On any level. We talked about this last week. He can sell himself as a 4-3 player or a 3-4 player, the best 3-4 nose tackle, or a guy who could be dynamic as a 4-3 tackle. I think he just opens up the bidders.
So you think the
paid.
Market will give him
yep. Now, I don't know exactly
I don't know the landscape
Listen, of the CBA.
I'm not a market expert either. I am. You're asking me what I think he's going to get. I would have told you I would have thought that some other guys would have gotten more and some other guys would have gotten less. So, I mean, we're not experts on that. But I think the really interesting point that Andy just brought up that I don't think anybody talks about when it comes to Wilfork is people think, how many nose tackles, how many teams need 3-4 nose tackles? Vince Wilfork isn't just a 3-4 nose tackle.
Right. He came into the league as a gap player.
And he was a good one. A lot of people called him Baby Sapp when he was at Miami. And he was coming into the league. And they thought he was an athletic guy with freakish feet and quickness for a guy that size. He might say, geez, I'd love to get into a 4-3 and be able to penetrate and shoot gaps and do some of that stuff that, by the way, Albert Haynesworth just made $100 million doing. So it's not like there's only 3, 4, 6, 8 teams that are interested in Vince Wilfork. He's open to all 31 other teams in my mind.
Okay. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We haven't taken one, so let's take a break.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
The Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to 4 of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow, how about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride.
Drives it and in. What a goal! Sandy Diaz!
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. Lacrosse fans, once again, the NCAA Men's Championship is taking place right here in New England. That's right, the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship, the only NCAA event that includes all three divisions, will take place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 2009. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and Gillette Stadium will once again be the home of the championships. This is an NCAA event you don't want to miss. Fans from all over the country will descend upon Foxborough to watch this exciting once-in-a-lifetime event. Order your tickets today while seats are still available. Log on to www.lax2009.com. That's lax2009.com or order through Ticketmaster. May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the 2009 Men's Lacrosse Championship. If you love lacrosse, this is the one sports event you don't want to miss. Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
Can you read some of the tweets?
What?
Why is it that you almost never... Unbelievable.
Oh,
you're an embarrassment.
Please, I didn't say that.
Just
I didn't say that.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. And by the way, we never called ourselves professionals.
Ever.
That's true. I have to read this public service announcement. Patriots Director of Player Personnel Nick Caserio will give an exclusive post-draft breakdown and discuss the overall scouting process. When? Wednesday, May 13th at the Hall of Patriot Place
presented by Raytheon.
From 5:30 to 8:30. So that's Wednesday, May 13th. That's next Wednesday at the Hall of Patriot Place from 5:30 to 8:30. Tickets are $25. And admission includes access to the hall and to Nick's talk. Get tickets online at thehallatpatriotplace.com or call 508-698-4800 for more information. 508-698-4800, tickets to Nick Caserio's talk. So I would imagine in a nice intimate setting like the hall is, you'd be able to ask some really good questions and get some really good answers.
And let's not forget, he has a pretty unique background. If you go to something like that, he was a quarterback for Josh McDaniels at John Carroll. They come here together. He's risen through the ranks, and he's essentially your GM or your second in charge after Belichick in personnel.
And he took a year to coach wide receivers, too.
He's been a coach. He's been a scout. He's been a personnel.
I believe
he's filled
in for
Ivan chain.
Fears when he had the health issues at running back, and he's got the strongest arm in rookie minicamp. It's much stronger than Brian Hoyer's. So a very, very, very interesting figure beyond just his knowledge of the system.
And those, they've done a couple of those so far, right, Fred? Those speaker series at the hall. And I know the first one was a bang-up success with John Hanna. I know that
John Hanna, they had
I think with Gil and Gino there.
Gil and Gino there. One.
So it's a popular series.
Yeah, so that's May 13th, a week from this Wednesday, 5:30 at the hall at Patriot Place. $25 includes entry to the hall. So you save $10 right there. Good deal. Let's see. Chris from Connecticut, formerly of the Bronx, says, great coverage of rookie minicamp. Just a few questions. Will there ever be a full list of rookie tryouts? On that note, any follow-up on the receiver that seemed to catch people's eyes? Who would that be?
The receiver?
Tyree Barnes, I assume he's talking about. He looked good, caught a couple passes, fell down a few times. A sniper took him out here or there.
Yeah, his in a uniform, he looks great, but Andy talked about a lot of the guys moving around, making cuts, and slipping and falling. He was one of those guys.
Big feet,
falling down all over the place.
Big slippers.
I didn't really see any wide receivers,
but he made it.
Stood out to me.
Just to quickly rehash in case Chris missed it, wide receiver Tyree Barnes, linebacker Vinny
Cheer-choo.
Running back Omar Cuff, running back Eric Catani, wide receiver Robert Ortiz, punter Aaron Perez, wide receiver Shun White, and defensive lineman Steve Dr. Death Williams were signed today.
Dr. Death?
Yes, not Tiger Woods' caddy.
Oh, okay.
Who also goes by Steve Williams.
Chris also asks, are the rookies handed any play diagrams or workout recommendations,
yes,
or do they have
workouts
to commit what they heard to memory until their next trip to Foxborough?
I don't know in terms of playbook exactly what they bring with them, but they certainly have. Bill was very
emphatic
that individually, they are given very specific things to work on for the next couple of weeks. They actually ended practice on Saturday, the second session. Bill called them together, talked to them. All the coaches left, but all the rookie players stayed with Mike Wojcik. So I'm sure he was giving them some verbal keys and things to work on. But they are sent away with very specific things to work on based on their needs.
Every year, I look for a third down running back candidate to apprentice under Kevin Faulk, Patrick Cobbs, and Kenny Katus. To name two, how did Josh Allen look? Any other candidates there?
I don't recognize
no idea who Josh Allen is. The running backs here were Eric Catani and Omar Cuff.
And they both were signed, so it wasn't like there was another guy that was.
If you mean
unsigned.
Omar Cuff, I thought he looked pretty nice. He's kind of quick, looks athletic. You know, they didn't have pads on, but I was intrigued by him. He was actually the one guy
I pointed to
that I thought would make the team.
Very
I didn't know they were
going to
sign everybody.
Decent hands.
In your opinion, what percentage of people who saw the Dalai Lama at Gillette had no idea what he was wearing? I'd say probably 30%.
The Patriots hat?
Yeah.
You mean?
30% of the people here didn't know what a Patriot is.
Although they said they had increased sales on
that
hat at the pro shop.
What's beeping?
I find that hard to believe. I'm guessing that most people knew.
Thanks, guys. Glad you're around during this time of year. Let me know the lunch schedule and I'll pony up.
Chris.
Those people are.
We eat lunch at 12.
Those people are within driving distance of Gillette Stadium, so I got to think, you know, the Patriots are kind of a big deal in this region.
He's just kidding.
No, he's not. He's a dummy man.
Wow.
Andrew from Maine. Hey, guys, still love the show. Now that Steelers linebacker Larry Foote is no longer with the team, do you think that by any chance he would fit into the Patriots system?
Yes, we do.
We do.
We're intrigued by him. Give him a chance as long as he doesn't want a lot of money.
Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia, considering the fact the Pats don't have a true fullback on the team, Do you think there's a chance they might keep all four tight ends and use one of them primarily as more of an H-back that can occasionally line up in the backfield as a blocker? If so, which one of the four do you think would be best at filling that role? So you got Watson, Baker, Thomas, and Alex Smith.
Well, we haven't really seen Baker yet. So at this point, from what we've seen, Watson. Yeah.
I mean, he's
done it, too.
Basically, so I don't think they'll keep four tight ends.
I don't either.
But I definitely don't think that they'll keep a fullback. So
they haven't kept a true fullback in
in a long time. And I don't think they will. I don't think Bill values the position.
You didn't like Keith Evans as a fullback?
He's not a true
fullback. He's not a true fullback.
I mean, he was a running back who played fullback and did a few different things. He was a special teamer.
He's looking at that Keith Byers type player.
Who is?
This guy. An H-back is like Keith Byers.
I actually think, not necessarily Chris Baker, but Watson has done it, like Andy and Eric said. I think Dave Thomas probably has some of the abilities to do some of that stuff. But, again, I just don't think it's that
I think when you're looking
important.
For a true fullback, I loved watching Hochstein just plow people over.
Yeah, I don't really think you need it. I think they predominantly run out of
three.
And
what a spoil sport you are.
Why? Because I like the offense that they put up in 2007 with three and four receivers on the field all the time.
Once in a while, it's nice. You know, you're going for some short yardage. You put Hochstein in there, and he just punishes people. He just punishes people.
He does, but he's also...
To be fair, they snap the ball, and 3 seconds later, he goes.
He's also a very versatile offensive line replacement.
Yeah.
Now, he goes down, like Seymour did in, what was it, 04 against San Diego when he hurt his knee?
I want to
get... You run the risk of not having a guy who can play other positions.
You know how I am. I want more athletes on the field, not less.
You want guys to play their position. You don't like all this fancy
stuff. No. I don't mind that. I want more athletes on the field, not less. Putting a fullback on the field takes an athlete off the field. I like four receiver sets with Brady as my quarterback. I don't like that.
You don't like that.
No, that's boring.
What about like a guy
588
like,
points?
What about a guy like Allstott? You like him?
No.
You didn't like Allstott?
No.
Larry Zonka.
That's different era. That's a different thing. Allstott is contemporary.
Just trying to get your Mendoza line there.
Zonka was a great player, but that was a different time. Two guys in the backfield who could both run the ball.
Right.
Matter of fact, they had three on those teams with Jim Kick, Larry Zonka, and Mercury Morris. But that's a different era.
TG and NJ, I know we got lunch today from Skipjacks from is it Dave Roeder?
No, William. Roeder.
William Roeder, Billy Roeder. Bought us lunch at Skipjack's, and Eric refused to eat any of the fish.
Right, so but I had the chicken parm with the
angel. TG wants to know, forget bananas, does Eric like fish sticks?
Do you put fish sticks in your mouth?
Oh,
he watched the South Park episode.
With tartar sauce. How many emails have you got asking about Edgerrin James now that Fred Taylor has sprained his wrist?
A couple.
Not that many, though.
No, there was one this morning.
There was one.
It listed Edgerrin James... Who's the other veteran back out there? There's like three veteran backs.
How bad is this sprained wrist?
I didn't get any emails about Edgerrin James.
Are we worried about him missing time? No. All right.
Sounds like he fell down and tweaked his wrist.
Yeah.
No.
Nothing broken, nothing torn. Looks like it's just a sprain.
Although he does have that history of nagging.
But not
injuries.
Of late.
No, but
last 2 years, right? He's been.
He had a lot of hamstring problems earlier in his
I'd be
career.
More worried if it were a leg injury than a wrist.
I would
wrist.
Too.
Let's be honest. He's filling the void left by Lamont Jordan, who played like three games last year. So,
Brian in Santa Cruz. Hey, guys, and the not-so-cannon leg kicker. So now the rookie camp is over, I'm looking forward to the upcoming passing camp to see the return of Tom Brady. Is he expected to fully participate? And if so, will you guys be able to watch and evaluate him for the rest of us? One more quick note. How classic is the picture of the Dalai Lama sporting a Patriots cap? Just one more reason why the Pats are world champions this year. I definitely had to apply that to my background.
So we got that going for us.
That's what I said.
Nice.
It's good karma. You know, can't be bad.
Is he done? Is the Dalai Lama done in the U.S., or is he making like a
I don't know.
Stateside tour? Or...
I don't know. He's got an album out, so
does he?
Probably, no, I don't know.
A reality show, too?
Yeah. I don't know what his schedule is.
It would be
fun
if he went to the other 31 teams and put their
put it on every time. It's great to be back in Giant Stadium.
Hello, San Francisco.
Cheap pop.
But getting back to the passing camp, we do have some access, right?
Yes, I don't have the exact schedule. It's a couple days.
May 20th and 22nd, maybe? Late May.
So hopefully
there's going to be 2 days in late May we'll have access.
We'll get out there and we'll
blog. We'll have some updates on the site. Yeah, we'll blog afterwards.
Blog afterward. Yeah.
Steven from Oregon is on the phone right now. Steven, how you doing?
Good. How you guys been, man?
We're doing great.
Hey, Steven. How are all the kids?
Hey, you know what? I'm coming up on that time where I'm going to need a third mortgage because I've got seven birthdays in 6 months.
Oh, sweet. God.
Then I get a month off, and then I get Christmas.
What are you going to do when it's time for college?
Hey, get a job. You want to go to college?
I agree. Well said, Steven.
Now, Steven, were you offended in Bill Belichick's post-draft conference when he said Oregon instead of Oregon?
No, everybody pronounces it wrong. It's really irrelevant.
But I heard that a lot of Oregonians get upset when people say Oregon instead of Oregon.
You know, they do, and they feel like they have some sense of entitlement, you know, even though I bet half of them are from freaking California. So,
okay.
You know, whatever. Well, I didn't get to hear anything about rookie minicamp. So, or how did it go? Was there anything exciting? Anybody stick out?
You haven't heard the show either.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm 2 days behind. I'm still on Sunday's draft.
Oh, okay.
Which was better than I was. I was about 2 weeks behind for a while.
Andy says the word he's not supposed to say on Sunday as well.
Yeah, I say some. Don't listen with the
two
kids
shows
around.
In a row.
I said a bad word.
I never listen with the kids around.
Good.
Good call. Rookie mini camp was good. Unfortunately, one of the things that stood out was Tyrone McKenzie injuring his right knee, and we're unsure as to how serious it is, but he limped off a morning session on Saturday, did not return for practice in the afternoon. So I would say that's the biggest news out of camp. They signed some tryout guys, none of them really all that flashy. Patrick Chung, your boy from out there, looked good.
Uh-huh.
I'm intrigued to see him. Obviously, his game doesn't necessarily transfer great to shorts and a T-shirt, but
he looked like he wanted to hit people.
I want to see
very impressive. I thought
looked like he wanted to hit everybody that came across the middle.
Well, you guys said that about Mayo last year because you felt like he needed to hit somebody to really show where he was at during the rookie minicamp, but they were in just shorts and a T-shirt.
Right. Yeah, and see how that turned out.
Especially on defense, you want to see the guys in pads because on offense you can kind of get away with that. You know, if you see a guy running routes or quarterback's arm strength or, you know, the way a running back can move, you know, in the cone drills and stuff. But on defense, you need to see a guy.
Defense is attitude and hustle and all those other stuff.
So it's a little more difficult in these kind of settings. But he did as well as you could expect.
Yeah. Good. Hey, Fred, you got your throwback Mayo jersey yet?
Throwback Mayo jersey?
Yeah.
You should.
Looking at it online. Looks good.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to have to get one.
Should 3XL.
I like the white jersey, but they don't have the white jersey.
Got the red right now. Yeah. Looks like so,
but they will have it eventually.
Well, the white one, you can see the tomato sauce when I spill it on the front.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but, hey, this way you'll be able to keep the pasta off here. Nobody will know you on your shirt. So,
all right,
hey guys,
Steven.
Great show. Missed you guys a lot. I'll be calling you a little bit more. And I think I got all my kids saying all right really nicely now.
All right.
See you guys later.
I know my son says.
See you, Steven.
Tommy is from Berlin, Germany, writing in, also known as Seabass Country. He says, first of all, I'd like to apologize if my English is not so good. Well, it can't be any worse than some of the other people on the show. Well, here's my question. After Heath Evans became a free agent with no fullback left in the roster, do you think that Navy boy Katani will make the roster?
Nope.
That's way too early.
Andy says no.
No. No chance.
Or will they
Eric will let you know August 31st.
No, I want to see the guy in pads. I want to see him run around a little
no
bit.
No chance.
Or will they look for another free agent fullback, although there is no big market, in my opinion? What do you think? You think they need a fullback on the roster?
I don't think they need one. If he shows something, great.
They got Hoekstein.
If not, I'm not worried.
So I'd be excited if you discuss this in your show. Well, get excited. Thanks and greetings from the rainy German capital. So it's Tommy from Berlin.
All right.
Could pick up a whole new
country.
Set of fans here.
Yeah, that whole country.
With Seabass Vollmer on the squad.
That's good. International, baby.
Well, look it. We're very smart because...
Very smart.
We got the kid from Ingram who gives us Hawaii.
From Ingram?
Okay.
He's from Ingram, but he lives in Hawaii.
The kid
Ingram from Hawaii.
He's from Hawaii.
Correct.
So that'll give us Hawaii, a lot of the Fiji Islands.
Samoa.
Then we've got Vollmer. Give us Germany.
Sure.
We can branch out from there. Then Chung gives us China.
Jamaica, mostly. But, there's a little bit of China.
We have to find out what – How did he get the Chinese?
His dad is half Chinese and half Jamaican.
Okay.
His mother is Jamaican.
Can we exploit that over in China?
Why not?
Do you think?
I think his name helps you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
It would have helped a couple of years ago when we were sending people over there on ambassadorial missions.
Now, is his dad still alive?
I believe they're both still alive.
Does he speak Chinese?
I don't know. We'll have to find
out.
When we do the feature on him this year, I'm sure we'll find
that
out.
Obviously, the visual will not help you sell as much in China.
It's okay.
Nope.
It's all right.
But the
jersey. Does not look Chinese.
The jersey.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Have him hold the jersey over his face that says Chung. And Fred, you left out Canada. What about Nick Cashier in Canada?
Nick Cashier, Canada?
Right. Well, the thing is, Buffalo's kind of got Canada.
Do we have any Mexicans?
Well,
you know.
They have Toronto.
Yeah.
What do you call the two Mexican firefighters? Heard this on the radio this morning. Jose and Hose B.
Cracks himself up with that one.
That's a good one. I liked it.
Cracks himself up with every joke, he says.
That's true.
Chuck in Brighton wants to know, do the Pats have one of those temporary blow-up style tents next to the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse? Well, the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse is exactly what the Cowboys had.
Yes.
But it's not a blow-up.
They're not blow-up.
There is a structure to it.
Yeah.
It's
not
air and
I think people think because it collapsed that it was like some rinky-dink tent.
No.
That's not what it was.
But see, a lot of, you know, they say that the winds down there were 65 miles an hour, gusts.
Yeah. Well, they had microbursts.
They had microbursts that can go like 140.
Yeah. I read that.
I don't think 60-something knocked it down.
No,
they
I don't
had
either.
To have had one of those microbursts, especially it sounds taller than ours. I heard 8 stories, and I don't think ours is 8 stories. Ours looks like it's...
Everything's bigger in Texas.
That's true.
It looks like it's maybe, what, 6
half
that
stories,
size?
5 stories? Yeah, I don't... So,
but what was it that actually fell that, like, that? One of our colleagues, Todd Archer from the Morning News, was also injured.
Right.
He had something fell on top of him and was too heavy for him to lift off. He had to have some of the players lift it off to get him out.
I'm sure under
there. But the roof on those things isn't... it's not a solid material, is it? Isn't it kind of like the domes?
There are steel girders.
It's a fabric
plus
covered by.
You know how
I
much
mean, supported
even if
by
the
girders.
Fabric is little, when it all falls, you know how much that fabric would weigh. It's a huge piece of pretty heavy material.
It's very thick.
You know, it's not
an
8x10 blanket. Yeah. It's
there were a lot of like girders and stuff that they were showing the debris that they were picking off
it,
each other.
Right, those things I can see, but I get, you know, when I think of the roof of a dome, it seems like from afar that it's really not that heavy a material.
No, it's a very heavy
really
rubber. Very heavy.
Yeah, very heavy.
Really?
And I used to put up a tennis bubble every year at the Western Racquet Club.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is really, really
so
heavy.
When you were rich, you moved from the Cape to Weston.
Yeah. Really heavy stuff.
So. Is that how it was?
What?
You went from the
you
Cape to Weston?
You upgraded from the Cape to Weston?
Wow.
No.
I wonder why.
Let me tell you something. I went through some very hard times, okay? You guys have had it so soft in your lives. You don't know tough.
You don't know from tough.
That's right. Arsenios in Clearwater, Florida.
Arsenios.
I just wanted to say that I love the draft coverage and had a blast listening to Andy laugh at his Twitter mispronunciation. He reminded me of my 13-year-old stepson. When my daughter was 2 and learning to talk, she kept saying, "I want a cock. I want a cock on the phone." And my stepson ran around chasing her, asking her if she wants to cock, laughing historically, I think he means hysterically, every time she mispronounced the word. So hearing Andy laugh every time he said Twitter, he reminded me of my 13-year-old stepson. As far as Paul, I have noticed he has gotten very quiet lately and isn't participating as much anymore.
No, that's when he leaves on half
the
shows.
Why don't you tell Andy that? He always makes fun of me for talking too much.
Maybe you need to start feeding him at the end of the show. That way he isn't shoving his face during the show.
No,
and he can participate more often. And Eric, poor Eric, if he wants to start selling his paintings, he needs to stop letting people know that he's a conservative. Everyone knows the arts are for the liberals.
I'm a moderate.
And no liberals are going to buy any art from a conservative artist.
First of all, I'm a moderate.
By the way, how did he not get any chicks? I mean, whenever I want to get some, I either went to art shows where there were tons of freaky liberal chicks or church where there was oppressed conservative daughters. I know he probably turned them off by critiquing their English. Just kidding, Eric. One question.
But not really.
When jerseys sell with Moss or Brady on the shirts, do they get a portion of the sale, and how does that work?
Goes through the NFLPA and
players
and
NFL properties.
Crap.
It all goes into the pool.
They basically get like a penny.
Yeah.
But they get something. They get pretty I would imagine at the end of the year a guy like Moss or Brady gets a pretty sizable check.
I don't know. I mean, that's where some of those feuds go, and I don't think it's quite as much as you'd think it is.
I'd say it's probably enough for a normal person to have a yearly salary off of, wouldn't you?
No idea.
TG reminds us also that the Dalai Lama gives us Tibet.
Right. So. But he's not going to be on the roster. So
not on the roster.
But he's still, now we've
sort of incorporate adopted him as part of the Patriots family.
Right.
We should have got him on the show.
That would have been a coup. Yeah. That would have been kind of a coup.
Sure.
Just so you know, when I was writing and I mentioned him in an update, I wrote Dalai Lama, and then the second time I almost just wrote Lama.
Lama.
I'll bet you he would have fish from Skip Jack's. He
big hitter.
Well, maybe he likes seafood, Fred. Those of us who don't choose not to get seafood.
I just don't think you're giving it enough of a chance.
I gave it more than enough of a chance, just like Paul did in his lifetime.
He doesn't think I gave it a chance either.
I know. I'm trying to say
don't
that.
Don't hit your wagon to me.
I'm saying we've given it enough of a chance, Fred. We don't like it.
Wow, Paul and Eric, kindred spirits.
My fish sandwich was very good.
My steak tips were very good.
And the buffalo
shrimp. I liked my chicken parm.
Had a little extra.
With the angel hair
Fred
pasta.
Was kind enough to give me his fries, so
what'd
I
you have?
Got to be fat.
What'd you have, Fred?
Clams.
And? Good?
Yeah, they're very good. Very.
Where's it? He's not in here, huh? Tamash, the mosh pit? He'd never heard the word quahog before.
Really?
Yeah. And I asked him where he's from, and he goes, North Reading. And I was like, I assumed maybe he was going to say Midwest or something.
Fun fact about Alex Smith, supplied by strippers. He won the Madden Bowl in 06 and 07. That's the tournament for the Madden football game played by NFL players during Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's a two-time Madden Bowl winner.
Let's hope he can play real football.
So he can play with himself.
Now that's just
inappropriate.
Right.
No, that's what Matt Cassel said at the most recent Madden party.
Beep.
Did you hear that?
Beep, beep. You back it up here.
No, this is true.
This is true. That's what Matt Cassel said. He was being interviewed. They did some launch party for the 2009 Madden game. And
I don't know. They're always like a year and a half ahead.
He's an integral part of it now because of what he did last season. And they asked him about it. And he said, yeah, it's great. Now I can play with myself.
Knowing him, he said it on purpose.
You think?
Yes. Yes. Knowing him. He said it on purpose.
That is the kind of thing that he would say on purpose.
Because he can get by with, I was just, obviously I can use myself to play.
Mm-hmm. Rajiv writes in, great show as always, and I love the draft coverage. A couple things I wanted to go over. First, over the past few weeks, I've noticed that Belichick's talking highly about John Gruden. He talked about Gruden at the Combine, and then while talking about the Alex Smith trade, he mentioned about Gruden's offense. Then there was the report dealing with Belichick and Gruden at a coaching camp in Florida. Now we all know Belichick does not speak about someone like that unless he truly likes the person. So this made me wonder if Belichick had Gruden in his mind as a possible offensive coordinator whom he can mold into a potential head coach if the Pats of the Pats down the line.
Mold. He's already won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
he took two teams to the Super Bowl level, took
another one
right.
to the Super Bowl.
But he still has a lot to learn compared to Bill Belichick.
I don't think it's ridiculous,
but
the offensive coordinator
Coordinator part is not ridiculous. Let's just say that Gruden had never been a head coach before. Why would Bill be interested in molding someone as a head coach?
Right. Bill's going to be here for a long time.
But as I
said, as long as Bill wants.
They were at the combine obviously happened first, but Bill mentioned pretty much every coach that was out of work at the combine.
And John Gruden.
Shanahan.
Yeah. Brian Billick.
No, that's my point.
Yeah.
He mentioned he went Shanahan, Billick, Gruden. He listed probably 8 or 10 guys that were out of work, and it was Mariucci, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just Gruden, but as I said, Gruden and Bill were at a camp last weekend, or not last weekend, now 3 weekends ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Now,
at Florida. Right?
Coach's clinic. So I get the feeling that there is a little bit of a budding friendship there now. That'll obviously go down the pee hole if Gruden gets a job somewhere.
Rajiv also wants to know of any updates on the McKenzie or Fred Taylor injury. McKenzie, we just don't know. Fred Taylor, Eric is saying it's not that serious.
Eric Scalavino is reporting.
TFW in progress is Eric Scalavino.
From what I've read, it doesn't sound serious.
And Rajiv wants to buy us lunch.
Good. Well, put him in Queewee.
Put him in the queue, doctor.
It's Queewee on this show.
Let's see. Matt from Oregon. Is Matt from or Washington? Where's he from?
Oregon.
Matt.
Oregon.
Yeah.
He's the guy who wanted to kick Mike
Right. Well, he
Mike
says,
Bass.
John That's from right. L.A. sucks and I want to fight Kamani. That's what he
All right, oh, Matt.
No.
Yeah.
I just tried to call in and got a busy signal. No doubt John from L.A. was calling in to hear his own voice again. Wow. Yeah, anyway.
We are an hour and a half in, and John hasn't called, did he? Yeah.
Anyway, the reason
I called. Mildly concerned.
The reason I called was actually concerning another DB listener. What is Kamani's deal? Why is he so obsessed with Eric? Sounds to me like this guy needs a beating, and since Eric doesn't seem to want to do it,
hey,
was all set to go toe-to-toe with Mike before he was let go, I'd be happy to make that happen. I'll be home in June for a buddy's wedding and was planning on visiting the show again with lunch, of course.
Nice.
So I'm sure some kind of throwdown could be set up.
And you know what Matt does after he kicks your ass?
Well, Kamani's
pisses
in Chicago,
around you
though.
So no animals eat you.
That's right.
The only problem is Kamani is in Illinois.
Yeah.
Right?
Kamani's in Chicago.
Maybe he'll have a holdover
Kamani's
from Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Providence. Who are you?
Yeah, he's got the layover.
Be. Who is Kamani? Is he really someone you know?
No.
Oh.
He's a weird fan.
No.
Anyway.
You lied before, though, because so your word on this show is useless.
Yeah.
In the model that you took pictures of, I don't know what you're talking about, Andy.
I didn't know what you were talking about because you mentioned a name I didn't recognize.
Oh. I said a model.
Because
you once took a picture of a model. That's all you needed to know.
Right. He takes so many pictures.
Do I really have to get into this again?
You're not a great success here.
I mean, you had done this in the past.
Oh,
you pretended you had no knowledge of it. Right?
No.
You had obviously done it. And when someone calls up and says, hey, you've taken pictures of nude models before?
That's
and they get the name
said.
Wrong. You go, no.
That's,
I don't know what
that's
about.
Not what was said, Paul. Because there was one of those days when you had
but
to leave
one,
to go.
No, it wasn't.
Life, you took a picture of a model just once. That's all you needed.
Listen, you can try to spin this all you want, but I was here when this whole thing came about.
You lied.
No. And you lied.
I did not lie. The way
you lied.
You want to shut up for a minute so I can defend myself,
please? If you had hit a fat man.
This is like Will and TJ. I have to tell Will all the time. I take TJ's side because he doesn't lie to me.
Eric, if you had hit 150-yard game-winning field goal in your career, and we said it was
come on,
at,
say I did. Say
and
I did.
And we
please.
Said it was at BC, but it was at Northeastern. You would say, well, I only hit one, but it wasn't at BC. It was at Northeastern.
But that's not
it's
what.
The same
no,
thing.
He would say, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't
about.
Know what you're talking about.
That's not what Andy said. The way Andy described it was some model on a website was crediting me for something. He didn't mention anything about nude photos when he first brought it up. And then he said the name, and it was a name I didn't recognize.
I know you can't do it on the spot, but can you look into this?
Next show.
Can you look into this? For me, because I know for a fact that this whole thing was mapped out, and you pretended you had no knowledge of it whatsoever.
I pretended I didn't pretend anything.
Listen,
because
you know
the emailer
like?
Got the name wrong.
Somebody came up to me and said, you were a teacher once at Albuquerque High, and I go,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Because you get the school wrong doesn't mean I didn't have this little mini escapade in my life.
But you didn't say anything about it being a nude photo shoot.
Oh, shut up. You only took a picture of a model once.
I think he did say it was a nude or a topless model.
I don't
you know
remember
me.
That.
I obviously would have said topless.
I don't remember
her
you saying
that. Because
her
boobs were hanging out on the website.
I don't remember that part.
Have you taken pictures of more than one model?
No.
No further questions, Your Honor.
But
thank
see,
you.
To me, it could have been 100. It doesn't matter. He had done it before, and you pretended you had never done it. You had no knowledge whatsoever.
I didn't do anything.
Shooting pictures of models
evasive.
Of any kind.
I was not being evasive.
You were being very evasive. That's a good word for
I brought
you
it up
lying.
After he did. I
you
wasn't
weren't lying.
Evasive.
You were being evasive.
Relax, Paul. You weren't
wow.
here for most of the show.
I was here. Why do you got
to
say that?
Well,
I was
to go
here.
To your full-time job.
I was here. Look, you can try to you can try to make little
Eric.
Jokes.
Good.
You can try to make little jokes about it, but I was here.
Fred just gave a point to Eric.
Was I here or not, Fred?
You were here.
I was
thank
fixated
you.
On the name.
Do I get the point back for being here?
No,
you were here, no. But he still gets a point.
Bottom line
that's
is
that show on ESPN.
Oh my God, the guy gives points.
Look at him.
Well, your words are useless because you lie to us.
Wasn't lying. I was fixated on the name, and I was trying to think back on the name, and I didn't recognize it.
Instead of the fact that you once took pictures of models.
So what did you think the name was? Okay. Someone said an incorrect name, and they said what? What did you think it pertained to?
I had no idea. That's why I asked Andy
I had
to
no
explain
idea.
It to me.
I had no idea.
You just
you
keep
was
up
lying
the
your ass off.
I was not. I
we
didn't know what
app.
You were talking about.
All right, anyway.
It's too late, Doctor.
Matt goes on to football. That's if the league good. Decides to add an extra game to the season, why would all the domestic ones need to be played in L.A.? I'm sure there are plenty of cities somewhere near cities, somewhat near cities, that already have teams that would love to have games. Portland, Oregon, for example, has a ton of Seahawks and 49er fans. That's two games right there that would surely sell out, and it would be a really short trip for both of those teams. Of course, the venue would be an issue, but I think it could work. What are your thoughts?
I could play at Autzen Stadium.
The hell's that?
That's Oregon's
Oregon place.
Oregon's
oh,
home field.
They have
field.
A great locker room.
Yeah.
They have like the best locker room in the country.
Yeah, because Phil Knight
furnished
it for
it's a two-story locker room.
Right.
Imagine that.
And they have
Paul
TVs.
Would never do interviews with the people on the top floor.
They have TVs.
but the issue, I think, is if they only add one game to make them all neutral sites so you don't have issues with teams playing nine home games versus eight home
yeah.
games.
Or would you alternate year to year? I mean, it's all a work in progress. They're all talking out all these ideas.
And London wants the Super Bowl.
Well, then you get into
if they have the Super Bowl in London, that is a terrible, terrible idea.
I agree. But then you get into the problem with, like they just said right there, if you're going to do Seattle or San Francisco, is that kind of like a quasi-home game for them so that their neutral site game isn't really a neutral site game,
right,
where maybe the Patriots' neutral site game is Bangkok. In L.A., you know, which is not anything other than a true neutral site game. So
right.
Then I think you run into some problems there.
Steven Winchester writes in, things we learned draft weekend. Bill Belichick doesn't like short rookie outside linebackers. Short veterans, though, that's a different story. With seven picks between 2009 and 2010, Bill thinks the value is in the second round. Where else can you find guys like Chad Jackson, Marquise Hill, Bethel Johnson, and Adrian Clem? When Belichick says he has enough picks to trade up into the top 10, it doesn't necessarily mean he will. Good thing the Patriots didn't draft Ray Maluga, or we'd be listening to Fred calling him Maluga for the next 10 years.
People really picked up on that, huh?
Who are the young guys, who are the veteran guys that are short? That he likes?
I don't know.
Springs and Bodden are both 6'8".
No, he's an outside linebacker, right?
I mean, Adalys Thomas is about 6'2", but he's 275.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not small. I mean, I think that he's talking about 6'2 guys that are 240.
Yeah.
That he thinks might be a little bit too small to play on the outside.
Rosie Colvin.
Pierre Woods is tall.
He's like 6'3",
yeah.
6'4".
Yes. Pierre Woods is either 6'4 or 6'5".
Yeah. I don't think it's veterans. Plus, I do think he has an affinity to the veterans because he's already seen them play and knows they can make a transition.
While Paul's looking that up, we didn't really touch on.
I didn't finish the email.
Sorry, it wasn't that good. Jim Nagy.
I do agree with Andy.
And Jay Morocco have left the Patriots scouting department and joined the Scott Pioli and the Chiefs.
Yeah, sad to see Jay go. Good guy.
Area scouts, I believe they both are going to be.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that that's all Morocco's going to be. It seemed like he had a higher role here.
Well,
he was
I got a feeling it's
6'5", 250 for Pierre Woods.
Some guys are still there, maybe, and then once they go next year, he'll become that.
He has been cleaning house in waves there. There was like a first wave, a second wave. Sooner or later, he'll get all his guys in there. My understanding is Morocco is one of his guys.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, people end up going in one or two directions, and he was a Pioli.
Finishing Stephen Winchester's email, Everett Brown is ridiculous. Everyone who said the Patriots would never draft 11 players was right. They drafted 12. When it's your turn to draft, it's better to trade up than down. Better players available.
I agree.
When the Patriots draft an unknown in the second round, they know something the rest of the league doesn't.
Fred.
When the Raiders do it, they're idiots.
Fred.
That I agree with.
And Andy is a naughty twit. So that's what he learned.
But that is was the perception. When we drafted Vollmer, it was a great pick. When the Raiders drafted a guy no one ever heard of, it was the Raiders being the Raiders. Now, that's track record.
And to be
fair, that's track record.
He was even less on the radar than Vollmer.
Yeah, but, I mean, that is track record. That's why the Patriots get the benefit of the doubt. Even if the situation were reversed and the Raiders drafted Vollmer and the Patriots drafted McKenzie or whatever his name is. Is it McKenzie?
Michael Mitchell.
I think that the aftermath would have been the same. The Raiders don't know what they're doing. The Patriots took a guy. They must have had him rated higher on their board than everybody else. That would have been the perception. But that's track record. That's Bill Belichick has put together some winning teams, and Al Davis hasn't done it since 2002.
That's good.
TG brings up a good point, I guess. Makes sense that it should be no surprise that Eric doesn't like fish.
Oh, that's so old. You've used that joke 8,000 times, Fred.
TJ, now's not the time. He's not really in the mood.
Yeah,
he's just thrashing out now.
We called him on his line.
He's very upset.
I was so
very,
nice
very
when your son came to visit today.
He has a bad attitude as he pulls his fancy Italian water to his mouth.
Toyota Tacoma wants to let you know that he's from Reading, not North Reading.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, big difference.
So my brother's from Reading. Well,
he's not from.
That's where he lives.
And he knows what a quahog is.
No, see, now if someone said, you know Everett, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I live in Peabody. Which would be the normal response, right?
You're incorrigible.
Let's see. Why doesn't Tacoma do the show anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah, where is he?
When are you going to let him loose on the board there, Doctor?
I don't know.
When you find something else to do? Do you have anything else to do? What do you do?
I don't think Doctor wants
what
to leave.
What is it you do?
I don't think Doctor wants to leave the studio.
Are we all set with the high school football combine next Wednesday?
Yes.
Are you going to do anything for it?
I'll be there.
Are you going to do anything
for
it?
Be like
I'll be out there.
I'll be there.
Supervising.
Really? You got to stop watch?
Whistle?
We're going to have a high school football combine here at Gillette Stadium next Wednesday. So
day, night, when?
See you next Wednesday.
Registration starts at 4 o'clock.
It's under the lights, potentially?
It doesn't get dark until 8:30.
Who's coaching?
What do you mean, who's coaching?
Like, are there coaches?
It's the Mass High School Football Coaches Association.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many people are coming?
Last year they had 400.
Wow.
So we're hoping to have at
they
least
do 40s,
that.
Verticals.
They do
bench.
40. They don't do a vertical for some reason.
Really?
They think it takes too long.
Heh.
But they do a 40. They do the shuttle. They do a standing long jump.
Bench?
Bench, 185, not 225.
Eric, you might be able to compete.
Not be.
And then once they do all those, once they do all this, and then they break them up in positions, and they do quarterback, running
some
back,
drills, some backpedaling for the corners.
Yeah,
interesting.
So
Fred can get up. Fred can throw 185.
One of you guys have to cover this, by the way.
Eric, good job.
So our college coach is going to be there.
What,
Eric? Yeah. Good job.
Covered for what?
I work Saturday at minicamp.
For
Patriots.com
and/or PFW. Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, guys. Rock, paper, scissors.
One of you guys,
As long as Betts.
Brian Lowe and Patriots Today will be there.
When is this, next week?
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday? That's the price they pay for getting this stuff like being in the draft war room.
That's one of you two guys.
Why are they not doing a vertical?
They say it takes too long.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
And it's also considered one of the primary indicators of overall athletic ability.
Okay, well.
Well, I mean, it is.
I guess maybe they never had the pegs.
I don't understand
pegs.
How it takes too long.
You just line it up, and the guy's got a big sticky.
Yeah, but you got to have more than one. There's 400 guys that are getting
But
through.
I can't imagine that takes any longer than
how
all the other
things.
How can
it take any longer than a bench press?
Aren't they breaking
up
into groups?
Well, they have 8 benches.
And they only have one of those
vertical
things?
I guess. I don't know.
Benching takes longer because the guy sits down and
then
does 20 reps.
I haven't done this yet with them. They've done this every year. For some reason, they don't do
vertical
jump.
We got Brian Lowe to write this?
One of the great indicators of athletic ability is being overlooked. Kind of.
Scott PR. He's always looking at right stuff.
Yeah.
John in South Carolina last week.
Just hold his hand up and be the vertical.
Last week, there was some talk about Leroy Hill, and the consensus seemed to be he could not fit in our defense. The contract the Seahawks, gave him was a 6-year, $38 million contract. The deal includes $15.5 million guaranteed between 2009 and 2014. That seems like a lot of money for a guy that is not that much of an impact player. Does this raise the price of Taylor out of our range?
Well, I don't know if he's not that much of an impact player.
He might be good for them, yeah.
He's not an outside linebacker in the Patriots system. It's not the same position.
He did have a decent number of sacks last year. I think he had 7 last year. He's an all-around player in a 4-3 kind of undersized scheme.
But going back to, I think it was TG's email, he's one of those short outside linebacker veterans that Bill doesn't want anything to do with.
Because he's not an outside linebacker in the Patriots.
Right, he'd be an inside.
He's an inside linebacker for the Patriots.
Right.
Jason Taylor's a defensive player of the year type guy.
He hasn't played outside linebacker.
His resume is clearly, I know he's older, but his resume is.
And what is it, $15 million guaranteed?
Yeah.
Yeah, 15
That's not
and a half.
Much.
Well, I'll take it.
Yeah.
well played, Fred Kirsch.
John writes in, I think Pro Football Talk is really overstating this.
John in L.A.?
No, it's another John. This is what Pro Football Talk is writing. It looks like Rodney Harrison has officially been replaced. The New England Patriots have landed a new safety with a reputation as a rugged tackler, as former Chicago Bears starter Brandon McGowan struck a 2-year deal with the AFC East club, according to John Clayton of ESPN.
I'm going to venture to say that transaction had absolutely zero to do with it.
Well, he didn't play last year, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never really
heard. Although the Patriots drafted Oregon safety Patrick Chung in the second round, they still felt the need to get McGowan. In 07, McGowan recorded 3 interceptions and 68 tackles, but he was sidelined for the majority of last season due to a lingering ankle problem. McGowan played collegially at Maine. Now, I'm surprised you don't know him.
Never heard of him.
At Maine? I mean, that's a Northeastern.
I never heard of Omar Cuff either. We just signed a running back out of Delaware. I never heard of him either.
I thought you knew all these guys.
Knows the Northeastern guys.
I used to know the league a lot better when we actually had a pulse in it. Since we've gone 2-9 every year, it's kind of hard to keep track of the other teams.
Several people have emailed in to say our feed is down.
That's just the bandwidth
playing
issue.
Here.
It's on their end. It's
just
always
here.
On their end.
Hit
it's
control
never on our
F5.
End.
What about people on the outside that were hoping to listen? No.
Every time I ask Chris Pereira,
I go to the feed, it's playing.
It's our problem, he says. I mean, it's their problem. It's always their problem. It's never our problem. That's all you need to know, Fred. It's never our problem.
Chris passed the book. Pereira.
Went to the top 10 list yesterday. Couldn't get them to open. It would just disappear if I tried to maximize the box. Oh, you just got to press Control F5. I said, who tells the person at home to press Control F5?
And when did Control F5 become the...
They know.
And then he told me to tell Jana, and next time she works, I'll tell her.
Today end in,
sick.
Today end in day?
I got to start playing that kid card
won't
more
be
often.
Seeing her.
I got two of them now, as Carol Hardy so astutely pointed out.
Let's see. Mike writes in. He wants to know if Tom Brady is going to play this season.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Now, we had another email where it said, is he going to participate fully in passing camp? I don't know. I mean, he's active
so.
In the offseason program. But if he's going to take, like, all the lead snaps, I have no idea.
Dom DeLuise has died, according to strippers.
Oh, wow. So. Andy doesn't know who that is.
He lasted longer than I thought.
Was he on Muppets?
He might have been. A lot of people have been on that. He was in a lot of Burt Reynolds movies.
Fat.
They were friends.
Yeah. Fat, right?
Yeah.
He's a big one.
Dark hair.
That's why I'm surprised
beard.
He lasted this long.
Yes.
Yeah, I know who Dom DeLuise is. How old is he?
No idea. Doesn't matter anymore, right?
Well, I mean,
it doesn't matter about the money.
He's
Dale.
A big fat guy, and if he lived till he was 75, it's pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
You don't see a lot of old fat guys.
Nope.
No, you don't.
Well, you don't. This room, you do, but it's just a separate issue altogether.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Murph from Denver.
Why do you feel like that, Paul?
I'm just trying to point out your ridiculousness.
Quick question: are the three Navy free agents the Patriots, the NFL team from New England? Just signed eligible to play. Don't they have to serve a minimum of 2 years active duty? I remember something like that with Caleb Campbell last year after he got drafted in the seventh round by the Lions. Also, Kyle Eckel had the same problem, right?
Yeah, it used to be a four-year commitment that you had to make when you went to one of the military schools, but I think they've since relaxed that. And
thank you for your service.
Well, I guess they thanked them and said, go ahead and play in the NFL.
Well, they didn't let Campbell. They reneged on it, right?
Yeah,
they
I think you have to ask for it. You have to ask for it.
But they approved
permission.
It, and then they pulled it back. You can be, quote-unquote, doing service by publicizing the Navy.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what they get by with on some of these athletes.
That's what they originally tried to do
they
with Campbell.
They make them work
the
a
Army,
little bit of time in, at, like, the local recruiting office, that kind of
and
stuff.
And maybe I think they have to stay in the reserves.
Are they all rookies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is an issue. Yeah, I don't think it'll be an issue moving forward.
But it wasn't like, I mean... When Staubach was drafted by the Cowboys, he had to wait 4 years.
4 years,
he?
Yeah.
Right.
He had to serve his four-year commitment
Same
and then
thing
come
with,
back.
What's his name?
Chad Hennings.
The Admiral.
On the phone right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing? Thank you for holding on.
Speaking of the military.
Hey, guys, great show. I'm telling you, if you don't mind, I got to recap on some of these riveting points. We got old fat guys dying. We got mixed martial arts for the fans. And if there is a tournament between fan-on-fan fighting, count me in. I want a shot at the title. I think I'm ready. I think the 6'2" former player, that the veteran guy, who was it, Hobson we got from the Jets last year? He never really played.
Yeah,
I think that's what he was talking about. But again, we were so bad at linebacker. I thought that, to me, was a good move that just doesn't pan out. You know, sometimes free agents move work, and sometimes they don't.
But he was,
again,
it's
an inside guy.
He was an inside guy, though, too.
He looks for the height on the edge.
Right.
The height is for the edge. I think you would rather have a 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", guy outside, like McGinnis, Vrabel, some of those guys that you've seen in the past. Inside, a lot of them are shorter guys inside. Mm-hmm. They're shorter and stouter.
Okay.
That's just kind of the way, I don't know if that's a prototype that he wants,
about 6'2".
That's the way it works out.
Right. Let's cut through all that though. The signing of Alex Smith. Have you all discussed that today yet?
A little bit. Yeah.
I think it's a good move. I like it. I really do.
Yeah. We're not sold. We think he has some talent, but he could run the gamut of number one or two tight end or get cut in training camp.
But you can also say the same thing about Ben Watson because he's making first round money. Alex Smith's making third round money. And I will say this: everything the Pats have done in the last, I'd say, 6-7 weeks. It seems to me has been done to reduce salary in certain areas. I wouldn't be shocked to see there's one number one guy at the tight ends right now, and he's underachieved, and that's Ben Watson. Mm-hmm. So, granted, if I'm paying a guy to underachieve, would I rather pay a guy in the third round's money or a guy in the first round money? So, to me, one of those things that I think that position's underachieved as a group. I don't think Dave Thomas one of those guys, Dave Thomas, Ben Watson, and Alex Smith gets cut, then it's almost a lock. I think the one safe guy is the guy we picked up from the Jets. What do you say to that?
I agree 100%.
That's basically what we said earlier.
And
yeah.
I think Thomas is the most likely because he's really never done anything. Mm-hmm. He's been potentially
right,
soft
but he's
hands.
So injury prone. And you know what? I saw him play at Texas for a couple of years. He's a pretty good ball player, but he can never find the field,
right.
You know, which is it's too bad because I think that when they first drafted him in the third round, I thought he was going to be a really nice pick for him. But, again, I mean, to me, Alex Smith, that was one of those moves. If it doesn't work out, no great shakes. We probably give him a fifth or a sixth for him. Who knows? How many five or six-round draft picks are going to make this team in the next 2 years? Not many.
Right. Plus, but, you acquired a couple extra fives in
sure.
the deal.
I would
with
say,
Ellis Hobbs.
I did this the other day, too. I wrote down all the players we drafted along with the veterans at every position, and I figured this out. There's 46 guys on this roster that I'm not going to get in the complete list or whatever. Some are rookies, some are the veterans or what have you, that were really strong in every position that I would say right now, with the exception of maybe tight end, which I thought for sure they would draft one, but hey, they didn't. But I would say they're really rock solid everywhere else. This team is just, they've got very few weaknesses. So I'm turning into Fred every day, and I'm really trying to fight the undefeated ward. I haven't said it too many times today,
wow.
But no, that's good, though. If you guys have a tournament, though, where the fans, you know, get to beat each other, seriously, call me. I'd like to be involved.
Okay.
We're all for that sort of thing. Eric,
yeah.
I got to ask you a question straight up.
Go ahead.
Okay, what is this thing going on with your kicking for the whatever it is, for you and Gostkowski?
Yep. The deal is we're waiting to hear back from the kicker.
Okay.
He has to respond to us and tell us when he's going to write his story for us, and then we'll arrange the thing out on the field. But
keep
we haven't heard from
him. Man.
We haven't heard from
him.
We have not heard from him, so every day that goes by makes it less and less likely that's going to happen.
We're going to get it done. I'm going to look into
this. Fred, just like I say, though, guy's doing a great job. As far as the rest of it goes, the thing down here in Dallas, this is Dallas Cowboys heaven where I live at, and they're all like Jerry Jones, you know, it's his fault that the roof collapsed. I tell you right now, that's too bad that guy got hurt the way he did, but,
yeah.
You know, they got OSHA on a more somber note, but the real truth of the matter, too, though, is, you know, football is a nice distraction to what normally is can be times a stressful day. So with that, y'all have a great day, okay?
All right.
You, Jim. All right, man.
Jim from Texas, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Jim.
Dan in Fairfax says, I've been listening and I've never lost the feed. It must not be for everybody.
That's what Chris Ferreira goes with.
Let's see. And John in South Carolina says it's working in South Carolina. And Chris Ferreira writes in.
Texas checking in here.
Shift F5. I've been listening to the entire show and have not had any dropouts. User may want to clear the temporary internet files as that may impact playback and make sure any firewall apps are not blocking the feed. Plus, stand on your head. Count to 10 and say three Hail Marys.
And wrap a baked potato in tinfoil.
So,
well, if it's working in this stadium, then it's got to be working everywhere because we generally struggle with
yeah, I don't know why
high volume.
Why it would drop out like that. Joe in North Andover says, longtime listener, first time emailer.
Good
on the show.
Good to have you, Joe.
On the show last Thursday, you talked about first draft pick Patrick Chung and his mother singing. I think you missed a great option. Imagine when Patrick Chung returns a Mark Sanchez pass to the end zone, everybody in Foxborough starts singing, everybody have fun tonight, everybody Pat Chung tonight.
Yes. We've, in the office, off the air, we've played around with his name a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the cover words, Fred, to be Well Chung.
Oh,
instead,
no,
we went with Pat Patriot.
We can't do that. No.
It was also Wang Chung,
mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Cha-Chung.
Cha-Chung.
Aaron from Sterling, Virginia says that Dom DeLuise lived to be 75.
Well done. Good.
I guess there's hope for Paul.
Nope.
So.
Dom was in better shape.
Yeah.
Also, Dom was quite flamboyant.
He was gay?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that out there or?
I think it was pretty much out there, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He and Don Knotts had a very torrid affair.
What? Is this real?
No, but I can imagine.
So is he not really gay?
No,
or
he was.
Is Don Knotts really gay?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Next thing you're going to tell me Paul Lynde was gay, Fred.
Oh.
Who's Paul Lynde?
You don't know Paul Lynde? He was always the middle of
Hello,
the Hollywood
Peter.
Squares.
I don't know who that is. I did see that guy, Danny Gans, died from Vegas. He's the entertainer, does all the impersonations of everyone.
Yeah.
50, though.
Yeah, well.
He's dead.
Wow.
What? I don't know what those eyebrows mean, Fred.
Let's see. Nick writes in. And Nick Oldford says, what's up, bitches? Just a quick question here. I know nobody cares about long snappers, but how do you see the training camp battle panning out? I would guess Ingram has an edge with the youth if they turn out, even in Bill's eyes, by the end of the camp. I ask this because I'm actually friends with Jake Ingram. I'm still the Hawaii football team manager, and I got to know him over the years. It feels awesome having a friend on the team. Since I live in Hawaii, I don't have too much direct contact with anything Patriots, so I'm pretty excited right now. Also, do you guys still do Gillette Stadium tours for former lunch buyers?
Yep.
I bought lunch about a year ago this time. You guys probably don't remember, but I do.
There's a statute of limitations.
Seems like you haven't done any in a while, but I'm finally visiting all my family in Mass early June, and if I got the chance to see Gillette, I would be running around like an excited little schoolgirl.
If you want to update your lunch purchase, we'd be happy to.
Get in touch with Doctor. Let us know when you're coming. But don't run around like a little schoolgirl or you'll get us in trouble.
I do think Ingram has the leg up. Just watching a few snaps, he throws fastballs that look like they're dead on every time.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to cut his hair because he looks a little ridiculous. But beyond that, I think he's got a good chance. Oh, you know what? They'll cut it for him at
rookie camp.
Rookie camp.
Yeah, that's training camp.
But and this Hodel guy is not. He's been around a long time.
Mm.
But you know the things we heard out of Arizona, that he was a locker room problem. He's got a bad knee. Was starting to be inconsistent at times on his snaps. I like this young guy. I like going with the young guy. You invested in him. You said he was good.
It's
go
like
with
a
him.
Couple years ago when they brought Gramatica in and then drafted Gostowski.
Right. Go
Gostowski
with the young guy.
Gostowski had the edge going in.
Hey, we'll close out the show with Matt from Oregon on the phone. Matt, what the hell was that?
He hung up.
Wow. No, he didn't.
You hung up on him.
He didn't hang up.
I didn't hang up on
you screwed up. He's been trying to call him for a half hour. Why would he hang up?
All right, well.
He called 2 minutes ago.
In that case, that's going to be the.
We need Tacoma.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I guess we'll talk to Matt on Thursday.
We do have 3 minutes to go, don't we?
No,
we're
don't.
Leaving early.
No.
All right.
My clock says 12. So that's going to be it.
The show goes till 2.
All right. We will
welcome
see
back
you.
To PFW Progress, 12 o'clock here.
We will see you noon Thursday.